This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Dreams you dreamed have all gone astray. The man that won you has run off and undone you. That great beginning has seen a final ending. Don't know what happened. It's all a crazy game. Every trick of his, your own too. But fools will be fools. And tougher, with hopes you'll burn up. Tomorrow he might turn up. There's just no let up. The livelong night and day. The man that got away. The man that got away. The man that got.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. Well, turn down your hearing aid.
Well, if it's too loud, you're too old.
JD thinks it's too loud.
Yeah, if it's too loud, you're too old. And
stop.
All right, hold on. I'll even turn on your mic to hear your rebuttal. Hold on. It's still not working.
Oh, my goodness. Keep going.
Your mic.
1, 2, 3. Ha ha, I hear me. I said I can find out where you live.
For some reason, that mic is not working.
Yeah. Well, how come I can hear me?
Because I got you picked up on the other mic.
Oh, okay.
Because if I turn off all the other ones.
I don't know.
Yeah, see?
That's odd.
There's going to be 12 people in the lobby very unhappy.
Well... We'll just have to put the volumes up higher.
That's okay. Line one's not working in here anyway. So.
Okay. Who are you?
I don't know. I'm on Vicodin. I don't know who the hell I am.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Well, come on, Chris. Give me a song.
Come on.
My name is Chris Harrison.
Yes. And?
I'm the co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
Yay.
And this evening,
oh God, that's a scary sound.
Oh stop!
That's the sound of Judy stripping.
No,
in your dreams.
Ew.
Tonight we have a very, very packed show. For our After Hours Quickie, we've got GCAM, Gulf Coast Archive and Museum. Judy Reeves is here representing. We're sneaking in the Theater Suburbia group. They're going to tell us about their...
There's two dozen people out there. How the hell...
Well...
Is this our tribute to illegal immigration? We're going to sneak 2 dozen people through here?
We're sneaking them in between the After Hours Quickie and the first segment, which is going to be running late. The transgender folks are here. And then after that, we've got the bisexuals coming by to talk to you. So we're going to go ahead and get with it. You want to talk about the...
Chris? Not really.
Would you please talk about the Reese's stuff that I gave you?
Oh, I thought you were asking me about the music.
Okay, we will talk about the music because I want to make a statement here. The music that you heard was a Judy Garland song called The Man That Got Away, and it was done by a transsexual artist by the name of Trinity. And I just want to say that somewhere out there is an actress who...
tried.
While having a very nice voice herself, tried to attempt to play the role of Judy Garland and failed miserably. And especially on this song, the arrangement of which really sucked. So I just wanted to play this song so that actress could know how it should be sung.
Well, thank heavens the show closed tonight.
Yeah, that was really not a good show. Anyway, and we won't even talk about the name of it or anything because, you know, there were some good people in it, but not for those roles. Okay, Chris.
I'm trying to figure out why she's still not...
You mean I'm not on this one either?
Okay.
I'm awful. There's an awful lot of static and tinny stuff coming through my ear.
Okay, ICOH, Space City Empire College of Monarchs, presents School Days, Memories of the Past, with your hosts, King Father Gerald McNeil and Grand Mamère Ginger Vitus. That's happening later on tonight. Sunday, February the 24th at the BRB at 8 p.m. Let's see what else ICOH is doing.
Oh, please.
Of course, the Midweek Madness show is happening at EJ's at 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday. And coming up, oh my God. Woo-wee. Let's see, March the 1st, which is a Saturday, which happens to be Craig Farrell's birthday.
Happy birthday, Craig.
Yes. Genitalia and Randy Hatcher hosts Boots and Bling at EJ's. And then March 2nd, that's the big one, because that is the third annual Tent Revival Show happening at Mary's at 2 p.m., 2 o'clock in the afternoon, folks, hosted by Judy Reeves, Dennis Watson, Craig, and Sarah. And I'm in there somewhere doing something.
Oh, Ben, you better believe you're in there, honey.
Okay. We'll maybe talking about that.
Turn your headphone down a little bit in there.
Okay. And then...
Hey, hold on. No, say something, Judy.
Okay. Does that help?
Yes.
Yeah, you're better.
Okay.
Hold on. I gotta...
Okay.
I found the lever to push.
Oh.
Just leave the squealing out of it, okay?
I love when you can find the lever to push.
Well,
we want to remind folks that the nominees for Grand Marshals... the voting for the Grand Marshals is happening from now until the end of March. And for female Grand Marshal, your choices are Jennifer Poole, Christina Martinez, Kelly McCann, and Barbara Walker. For male is Mark Cohen, Dalton DeHart, Keith Napier. Organizational is the Legacy Community Health Services and AIDS Foundation Houston, and the honorary is Julie Eberly. And the next time you get to vote will be Friday, February the 29th, that's next Friday, at the BRB, the Brazos River Bottom, at 2400 Brazos, from 8 until 11 p.m. Or every Saturday through March 15th at the Pride Houston office at 1415 California from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I also want to mention that every Wednesday Tony's Corner Divas performs at Tony's Corner Pocket featuring Lillian Devereaux, Anne Marie Gill, Selena St. John, Marsha Mink Gill, and Regina Dane. That happens Wednesdays at 9 p.m. It's a fabulous, professional female impersonation show that's not to be missed. So stop by there. I know it's a school night, but the show starts promptly at 9 o'clock. None of this...
drag standard time.
No. 9 o'clock it starts. So you can get out of there early enough to get to bed and get to work in the morning. And coming up April the 20th, a garden party hosted by the Houston GLBT Community Center. The theme is Moulin Rouge, French inspired theme party. For more information, go to dubcubed.myspace.com/agardenparty. And you've got some stuff from Erises, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Inc. Houston.
Gotcha.
This is from Bob Skinner, the
new emperor.
The new emperor. On behalf of him and Empress Kimberly O'Neill, mm-hmm. the board of directors for Reigns Double X Triple I and Double X IV, and the general membership of the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc. of Houston, Galveston.
Mm.
My God, they couldn't make it any longer, could they?
I guess next year they're going to add Texas to it.
There you go.
I would like, they want to say thank, huge thank you to everyone who came to Investiture and from all over the state of Texas and beyond.
It was wonderful.
The show raised $686.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, $868.
Oh, that's even better.
My dyslexia is kicking in again, apparently. That wasn't one of the side effects. They want to congratulate Emperor Chris Beck and Empress Cheyenne and the members of Reign 23. Over $41,000 to their beneficiary Legacy Community Health Services.
$55,000 altogether with the other beneficiary shows that they had, or benefit shows they had over the year. $55,000 total for the whole year.
For Reign 24. Mm-hmm. The charities will be assisters, will be receiving 25% of all funds, and Legacy Community Health Services receiving 75%.
That's wonderful.
Assisters also presented a scarf knitted by the late Queen Mother for Life, Jeanette Vaughn.
Ooh.
One of the scarves will be placed in memorial for Jeanette in their new, soon-to-be-unveiled display case at the BRB.
Wonderful. And then Bob is going to be on that next one. Bob's going to be somewhere.
The only thing on the calendar for next week is Alicia Dos Amantes, Miss EJ show on Sunday.
Sunday.
Event benefiting a recess. Thought it'd be nice to have an Emperor's Happy Hour. Well, it's already happened.
Oh.
And that's it.
Oh. Then I missed it because Bob Skinner is going to be featured with the Tony's Corner Pocket Girls this Wednesday.
Oh, he has a guest appearance in the opening production number.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And I want to leave you with two wonderful jokes that I heard this week. And one was came from LSA, but I thought it was marvelous. It is a quote from Joan Rivers. It says, "If you're going to wear assless chaps, then shave your ass." How many more times do I have to say this to the lesbian community? And from Instinct Magazine, let's see. What do Bruce Jenner, Paul McCartney, Kyle MacLachlan, Lou Reed, and Don Imus have in common? Any takers on that?
Bad divorce attorneys?
No. Oh. They are all men who are featured on the new blog called Men Who Look Like Old Lesbians. Look at this picture of Bruce Jenner. Remember when he was hot? Now he looks like Don Imus.
That's funny.
Now, wait a minute. The bad part is her mic is on and I'm not hearing her now.
I don't know what's going on here.
I'm not doing it. Oh, hello.
That's weird. Okay.
Apparently, there's only one microphone working in there.
12 people will be very unhappy to hear that. Hi, honey. They don't love me in here.
Have you tried that one?
No. He said that's the only one that works.
Okay, there's one thing we got to do. Just keep talking while I move mics.
Hello. Hello, good.
Well, that worked.
Hey, you just started me buzzing. Keep talking, girl.
Okay. I'm here with Judy Reeves from the Gulf Coast and Museum of GLBT History, Inc.
Inc. You mean I'm first? I thought I was last.
You are first tonight.
I'm so first. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, GKIM has lots of things going on and lots of things not going on.
Oh.
The one thing I love about coming to KPFT is I'm sitting here with a donation in my hand.
Wow, that is cool.
I know, it's so wonderful. Hi, Paul.
It's our pledge drive.
Oh.
Speaking of donations, yes, we are having our pledge drive tonight, too.
Tonight.
We have yet to mention it.
Well, maybe you should mention that before I get into this.
Okay. And, okay. Ooh,
no, that's not working, Jimmy. That's not working. Move
yeah,
one over.
Yeah, move that one over. There you go. Boy.
Boy, that sounds good.
Geez, yes,
hello.
You can hear that.
Yeah, we need to tone that one down a little bit. Anyway, yes, this is the KPFT Pledge Drive, the Spring Pledge Drive. I don't know what our goal is, but the number to call is 713-526-5738. We've got people waiting to hear from you in the lobby somewhere.
That sounds good anyway.
I can't hear him.
You're the fourth one.
I don't have my mic on.
Oh, that that would help.
Judy, don't talk into three, talk into four.
Oh, I'm not talking into anything, really.
I'm scared. I don't know what's going on with the microphones in here tonight. That's weird.
I don't know. I'm not talking in that one, honey.
Okay.
Chris just said want me here tonight.
Once again, news. I don't know what's going on. I mean, Jimmy yelled into...
Yes, he did.
He yelled into four, and it worked.
Yeah, now it's not working.
I swear to God, it's not.
We've got shorts going on here, and on this show, the shorts are usually coming off. So I don't know.
First, please.
Hey, if that's what it takes.
Oh, my. Anyway, let's talk about GCAM.
Okay, GCAM. What do you want to talk about?
Well, what's going on with GCAM? And you have a lovely pledge already?
Yes, I have a... No, it's not a pledge. It's a donation.
It's a check.
From Paul. He's so good to us.
He is good to us. He really is.
He's always taking pictures and doing things and handing me money. Last time it was cash. I prefer the check. Thank you. But I'll take anything I can get. I don't know why I'm talking into this mic like it's working. But anyway...
is mine the only one that's working right now?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Oh.
Oh, well. Yeah, that's why I said we got 12 unhappy people.
Isn't that working?
No, trust him.
Okay.
Anyway, actually, this is kind of a slow time for GCAM. We're taking in some collections. Right now, we're busy helping the Pride Committee. Now, see, that does funny. Every time you move something, my headphones go crazy.
Okay.
Well, take them off because you were just talking amongst yourselves.
Well, that's true.
So that way you're not going to distract.
Except that I can't hear what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I can't think of her name all of a sudden. Pride, you know, you've talked to her.
Oh.
Hello.
Starts with a P.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Anyway,
Paige.
Paige. We're helping Paige get ready with photographs for the book this year.
Yes.
And Dalton's a big part of that, too. So I'm working with Dalton this weekend. And hopefully we'll finish that by next week.
Fabulous.
And then we're going to be trying to help with some form of history at the festival this year. So we're already starting on that.
That's good.
And we're still, you know, looking for a home. Anybody out there want to give us a home? That would be wonderful.
Yeah, what are we doing for money?
For the home?
Was anybody giving us money?
Well, yeah, we got to find the home, though.
Oh, well.
Yeah, no, I mean, money's not the huge thing right now. We've got to find a nice place we can live
in. Okay,
okay. So we do have some...
We'll try and find you a home,
interested in being
Judy.
Our financial backers, so...
Oh, that's nice.
But that's
nice.
You know, really not something I'm not going to sit here and name names on.
Of course not. Life. No, I wouldn't.
So, we also have a new advisory committee individual.
Do we?
Has joined our advisory committee this year. Wallace, Wally. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name.
Okay, Wally, okay.
He calls himself Wally. That's a good name for me.
Okay.
He is one of the curators over at the museum in the Heritage Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And he's over one of the houses or two of the houses there and curator over the museum. So very glad to have Wally and all of his experience. He was actually instrumental in a lot of the work that they did at the Alamo to renovate it several years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So he and his partner are in Houston now, have been for a year or more.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually contacted us. So I'm very excited about having him here.
Yeah.
GCAM is in the process right now of working on a fundraiser, which we hope to bring to the public sometime mid to end March.
Mm-hmm.
We're now in the planning stages of it.
Good.
So that's very exciting.
Fundraisers are always good.
Donations are always good. You can always go to www.gcam.org and make a donation or join the organization.
Yes.
For on our PayPal.
Oh.
We also accept checks to the mail. We accept cash when we see you. I don't recommend sending cash to the mail, but if
then,
you know, that's your prerogative, but I don't make any guarantees on that.
Yeah.
So it is kind of moving and sliding, and, you know, we're never still.
No, no, because
there's always got something.
There's always something going on, you know, putting together a short exhibition somewhere, or GCAM has small display cases in like the community center and at Mary's, yeah. and
those are constantly being surveyed.
Yes, yes.
I know that ICOH is planning to do a fundraiser for GCAM. I'm not definite on the date right now because I don't have my calendar for ICOH with me.
So. Good.
So that's kind of another exciting little thing. And we're planning to do another closet show in the not-too-distant future.
Always need that operating money.
You and I, the old fogies of GCAM, the relics of GCAM,
we certainly are,
will be participating in the Bunny's Reject show.
Oh my God, we will be.
Coming Sunday, the 2nd.
Yes.
Yes, and so it was kind of exciting to
That's going to be a tough day, you know, because we're doing the tent revival at 2 o'clock at Mary's.
1 o'clock.
We're doing the tent revival at 1 o'clock at Mary's. 1 o'clock.
No, we're not. Jimmy, read my lips, baby. We're doing the tent revival at EJ's on the patio at 1 o'clock on March 2nd. Be there, please.
Wow, I just screwed everything up with that one, didn't I?
But, yes.
Because it says Mary's on the calendar.
Well, they screwed up on the calendar. My poster says EJ's.
Yes, yes. Okay. The poster, which is in the back of my car, which unfortunately did not make it in, so that's why I'm screwed up. So, that tent revival
is at 1 o'clock at EJ's on the patio, Sunday, March the 2nd.
Now, that's a fun place.
It's a fun place, yeah. The last time GCAM did a fundraiser on the patio, we had a ball.
Yeah, and we made a slew of money.
They wouldn't let us quit.
We made a slew of money, too.
We ran out of entertainers, and they had to double up on their
numbers. It was great.
It was amazing.
It was great. And then later that evening, we're going to be at the BRB.
We're going to be at the BRB doing the Bunny's Reject show. This was it second annual or fourth annual?
I think it's the second annual.
Second annual, yeah. The second, okay. I got my Tuesday
second
and
annual.
Mixed up.
And yes. We're
We are Jim and I.
You and I are the twins.
We are the twins.
Oh, God. Be very scared.
Always be afraid when Jimmy and I are on a stage anyway.
Mm.
And then we have the Boots and Bling show for ICOH on Saturday night. So that's like three in a row that we're doing this weekend. We're too old for this.
I know it.
We are way too old for this.
He's praying Stanley comes in so he has an excuse to bail.
I know. I know. I'm not letting that happen.
Aren't we worried about being overexposed?
No, I'm wearing clothes. What are you doing? I plan to be fully dressed as usual. And in fact, in the revival, actually, I have gone. This is the third annual revival, and I have gone to the revival as Tammy Faye.
Yes, you have.
2 years. But this time, in deference to the demise of Tammy earlier, I'm not going to be Tammy Faye this year.
Okay.
I think I'm probably just going to be old Judy. But that's okay.
Yes, it is.
You know. I'm sure that the Reverend Craig will do a nice little, something.
And he really is a reverend.
And he really is a reverend, and he runs he's our DJ for these shows.
Yes,
and
he
so
is.
On.
He's fabulous.
He's Archduke II in ICOH.
Yep.
So, that's
a lifetime title.
Yes, that's a lifetime title. And right up there close to the monarch, so GCAM's just kind of we're not really in rest mode because we're looking at the possibility of a big show on April 2nd.
Oh, hell, we're never in rest mode.
No, we're never in rest mode.
I wish.
And Dalton has more pictures for us, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Yes. The unfortunate truth is GCAM ran into a little problem this week in that I seem to have...
The GCAM Mobile.
Yes, the GCAM Mobile is probably no more. It's in critical condition at Tech Auto, waiting for the insurance adjuster to look at it. I, on the other hand, managed to walk away with both of my tires under me.
Yes. And, it seemed the gentleman decided not to heed a stop sign.
Yes.
And the ending result was that a tire was ripped off the off the GCAM Mobile.
Yes, with me still in it.
Yeah, and so the frame's probably bent and... Yeah. There's body damage and who knows what all.
Yes, there's a little body damage to me, too, but nothing like the GCAM.
No.
Of course, I'm not made of metal, either, or rubber, either. No, never mind. Anyway, so that's the GCAM report for the evening.
Okay.
And I hope we get all our mics in, because I know a dozen people are going to be
I know it. I know it. I think. I hope we have a piece of music. ready to... Great, because next
me
is...
Me and my shadow? No.
But next we've got Theatre Suburbia coming
in. Yes, okay. Norris and the Crown.
Are you going to stick around for that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Desperate old guy, why don't you come to your senses? You've been acting pretentious for so long now. I know you're hiding behind that cloud of cologne, and all the guys you give your heart to only hurt you somehow. Don't need that queen in Montrose book. She'll beat you if she's able. But if you're into that, that queen is your best bet. Now it seems like some dick dancer has been dancing on your table. But you only want ones that you can't get.
Marcy Ray, Sweet Mama Cotton, with Jimmy's theme.
You're so bad.
Otherwise known as Desperate Old Guy.
You are so bad.
You just figuring that one out?
No, dear. I've known it for years. I was just reminding the audience that might not know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, Paul. We would never call you, well...
We've seen the pictures. You're not that desperate.
Anybody with a camera isn't desperate. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, if you go to CL.net, you'll see he's not very desperate, though.
Oh, well. Yeah. I don't. Never mind. I'm just not going to go there.
He hangs around the Twinkies more than a diabetic trying to get a fix at the Quickie Mart.
And this is news to who? Oh, the audience. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm just great.
We moved a dozen people in while you were gone.
You didn't hear my comment, did you?
No.
Oh, good.
I'll fill you in later. Doris is here. Hi, Doris. We can't see you where he is.
We play Jimmy's theme.
Yes, but everyone was talking about that in the lobby.
Doris was talking about it in here.
So, you want to sit here while I go make sure our phones are
okay.
That too.
Correctly.
Have
so
nice
that you can call in at 713-526-5738 with your pledge of support.
Ta-da.
We'll have
okay, dead air. And the new regime sits down. Now he can see Doris.
So what did that old gal say?
Nothing, dear. Oh, that's obviously there between you and Doris.
Don't even look at me.
Actually, see, she said nice music.
Yeah.
Until I started listening to the words.
Oh, Jimmy's back.
That's done by a local artist, Marcy Ray.
Ripped off some music, huh?
Yeah.
Happens in the best of radios. Okay.
So, what's the new play?
it's called Tea and Arsenic. Are you going to make this one?
That's a yes, Jimmy.
Yes.
Okay.
I was in Hawaii.
Oh, for like 2 months?
Oops. No, he wouldn't come when I was sick. He was real chicken.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a sort of a comedy mystery. A couple of little old ladies running a lodge with a bunch of crazy people.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good so far.
Open last night, mm-hmm. or I guess night before last, since this is Sunday morning.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway,
it's still Saturday night. You haven't been to bed.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if she has, I don't want to know. I forgot where I was.
Yeah. Not with this cast, no.
Okay. But I sat in on one of your rehearsals the other night, about three quarters of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fabulous. It is so funny.
You had reported to me.
Yes,
this.
Which I yes. had reported to him, but now I'm reporting to everybody out there.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
sorry. Shut up. Go to us.
Anyway, we play through March the 22nd on Friday and Saturdays, of course, at 8:30.
Right.
Two Sunday matinees on March the 9th and the 16th at 3 p.m.
Okay.
And most of the cast is here tonight, except for, I think we're missing three. But one of it's a cast of 12.
12?
So we've got a, you know, like a melodrama almost.
Damn, that dressing room must be, oh my God.
Tell Polly can't bring the camera.
Anyway, one of the little ladies that is a little, can't stay up past about 11.
Sounds like my lover.
So we recruited one of our other theater people, Mary Lynn Correll. She's going to read in her part.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Mary Lynn helped hold the book, prompting, painted a picture on the wall for us, what have you.
Mm.
So we drug her along.
Good.
Plus my backstage people. They came.
Good.
They all love Doris.
And we've got some new people that are in there.
I see some new faces and a lot of faces that have been here before.
A lot of old faces.
No. I wasn't going there.
If he had, it meant me. So.
I can't afford to go there anymore.
That's true.
I had a birthday.
In Hawaii.
A big one.
What? 4-0?
Oh, please, Louise. No, he's the only person in the world older than me.
I'm older 90? Than her.
This is not a good time to tell you what I have to tell you, Doris. Okay. Supposing we go around the room and let people introduce themselves. Would that be a good thing to do?
That would be a
somebody
great
start
thing
quick.
To do, yes.
I'm Dan Corrigan. This is my radio voice. The sexy
and everybody's
voice.
Looking over here to see
okay,
what you
he
like.
Gets invited when we do nude radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
He does it well.
And you're playing what part?
I played Muckley.
Detective Muckley.
Okay.
That's right.
Muckley?
Muckley. Don't say Muckley. It, Jimmy.
Does that give you a...
Capital M and it ends in a Y.
Muckley.
Okay.
Fabulous.
I'm Colleen Moore, and I play June, who's one of the college students.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Emily Sims. I play Babs Cook.
The flirt.
Okay, that works.
Violet Birchall, and I'm backstage manager.
Hey, Violet.
Marcus Hi. Callahan, and I'm tech.
Oh, yes, you
he
are.
He bongs very
yes,
well.
Yes, he does. I've heard his bongs.
Yes, yeah,
ooh.
Marcus remembers my main man, so leave him alone, okay?
I'm Rebecca Roch, and I play Isadora McColdy.
McColdy.
Again, another M and Y. I'm Adam Roch, her husband, and I play Jerry Parks, a college student interested in chemistry.
Now, let's get this...
In real life, they're married.
Okay, I was going to say, let's get this straight, but this is not the show to
no,
say that.
No, not in the show.
We don't even interact
on stage.
Yeah, okay, in real life, you two are married.
Yes.
They're still newlyweds.
6 months.
Yep. Today.
Yeah.
Happy half an anniversary.
Oh,
yeah, you're a husband now. You can't forget these things.
Living right along.
Yes.
I'm Juan Rivera. I play Superintendent.
Jones. Superintendent who?
Jones.
Oh.
Jones.
Gotcha.
John Smith. We
John Smith, whatever, yeah.
I'm Mary Lynn Correll, and I'm subbing for Skip Blakely, who plays Mrs. Fern.
Oh, Skip. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Marilyn Faulkner, and I play Mrs. Crump.
Mrs. Crump?
No, Crump! Not Crump! God.
Hi, Marilyn.
Whatever.
Marilyn's been here countless times.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Sabrina Tarbutton, and I play Maggie.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
I'm Kevin Hudson, and I play Barney Cook.
Ooh.
Barney baby. Okay. Got all that?
I want to get a look at
I got to see what Barney Cook looks like. Okay.
You have to come to the play.
Yeah.
Change for a 50?
Maybe. Okay. Are we going to do a couple of scenes?
Yeah, but just as a note, do you remember the original Hudson and Harrigan?
Yes.
Well, Kevin is the original Mac's son.
No!
Yes!
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's his radio voice.
But anyway, yeah, we're going to do a couple of scenes for you.
Okay.
So, ladies, take it from the top.
Crump! Crump, what are you doing?
Oh, why, Mrs. Fern, what on earth?
I am not a piece of furniture.
Sorry, I just didn't notice you.
Obviously. Now, give me a four-letter word for chihuahua.
What?
That doesn't fit.
It wasn't meant to, Mrs. Fern. I got too many things to do, and here you sit asking me for a four-letter word for chihuahua.
What do you have to do that's so important?
Dust every room, vacuum, make sure all the food's ready.
Crump, it's only your niece who's coming, not the Queen of England.
I wish it were just the Queen. This is the daughter of my sister who thinks that our entire enterprise here at the Splinters is the most degrading thing to happen to the Crump family since Cotton Crump's oldest son opened that distillery in Kentucky.
Now, don't get all worked up about it, Crump. Your niece Maggie will love it here. And if she doesn't, well, she can just take the bus back to Boston or Kentucky.
I suppose you're right. She's a level-headed college student. She wants to soak up all our local history.
She might get waterlogged at the Splinters.
I know. The Splinters is dripping with history ever since Cotton Crump laid the first stone. It might as well be a national monument. Did I ever tell you that Nathaniel Hawthorne actually spent the night here?
At least a dozen times.
No, only once. He slept in the room where Mr. and Mrs. Cook are staying.
Maybe we ought to charge them a bit more. After all, they're sleeping in a historical monument.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
Why not? How many other people can say they're sleeping in the same room as Nathaniel Hawthorne?
Well, now maybe you have a point there.
Oh, crap. I think you're serious. Tell me, what time is Maggie arriving?
Oh, any minute. The bus must be in already, and they're getting a taxi from downtown.
I've got it! Tiny!
What's Tiny?
Chihuahuas! Well, it certainly will be nice to see a new face around here.
I hope you mean that, because they'll be here for their entire spring break.
They?
Yes, Maggie's bringing a friend to help her do her research. They're going to go over everything in the house, all the old papers, scrapbooks, everything.
Well, then she'd better bring her entire school. It'll take years to go through everything.
Why, if it isn't our two golden goodies. How are you today, girls?
Oh, why, Mr. Cook. Oh, and Mrs. Cook, how lovely you look today.
Thanks. I bought this little number down at Gloria's Secrets. Like it?
Simply beautiful. They always have such bright things down there.
Oh, you shop there too?
Oh, goodness, no. I just look in the window.
Well, you can borrow this anytime you want.
I'm afraid it's not Crump's color.
Say, girls, maybe this month you can go down to Gloria's Secrets and buy yourself a little something. I'm raising our rent.
Oh, my.
We're just so happy here. We want to do justice to you fine ladies. Not a word of protest, please.
Well, my goodness. You must have heard us talking a minute ago.
Yes. We were saying we ought to charge a bit more because you're staying in the very room where Nathaniel Hawthorne spent a night.
Mike, was he one of the Beatles?
Yeah, the drummer. Now, ladies, that's an excellent reason to raise the rent. Here's our regular rent, plus an extra 20.
Oh, you're too generous.
Look, we want to keep you two girls happy. And besides, how many newlyweds can say they're living in the same room as what's-his-name? Right, Babs?
Oh, yeah, Barney. It's a peach of a place.
Well, since you're giving us so much more money, why don't you let us give you a larger room? You could have one overlooking the garden.
No, oh, no. The one we have is just fine.
Yeah, it suits us to a T.
But it's so small, and you have that oversized closet.
We love the closet. We couldn't get along without it.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff tied up in it.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Cook.
Oh, yes. This will come in most handy.
Our pleasure. Say, you ladies wouldn't happen to have change for a 50, would you?
Oh, I think so.
I just got paid. They give us such big bills. You know how hard it is to crack a 50?
Not really.
Take my word for it. It's tough.
Here you are. My, what a crisp bill, Mr. Cook. I just love new money.
Well, I'll see if I can find some more for you. Ladies?
Bye-bye.
My, they are something, aren't they?
You couldn't ask for finer lodgers. I mean, so prompt with the rent.
I know. They're so prompt sometimes, I think they paid twice a month instead of once.
Ah, my public.
Why, Miss McCulvey, how are you this morning?
Marvelous. Exhilarated. I've been practicing since 5.
You must be tired. Come, sit down.
Tired? Dancing doesn't make me tired. I find it invigorating. Would you care to see a bit of my newest creation?
Oh, why?
I call it Flea and Frog Symphony for Feet. It's the story of the eternal struggle between the insect and its adversary, the wicked frog. The insect takes small, light steps and flutters about in innocence, and the frog is heavy with guilt, deep, somber, cruel.
Oh, yes, somber, cruel.
You certainly have your steps down, Miss McCulvey. Oh, there's somebody at the door.
I'll get it. It's my niece.
Why is she running off?
Lucky, I guess. Actually, her niece is here.
She left my performance because of a niece? Well, there isn't any dedication to the arts anymore. There's no more love of beauty and perfection. Is there at least some peanut butter in the cupboard?
Oh, yes, there's plenty. And there's bread in the bread box.
Thank you. I'll just dance my way to a sandwich.
Just don't trip on that door, Joe.
Here we are, Mrs. Fern.
Hi, I'm Maggie, and this is my friend June.
I'm happy to meet you.
It's so nice having both of you. I've been looking forward to meeting you, Maggie.
Oh, we're putting you in a room overlooking the garden. Such a lovely view, even if it is just a bit weedy.
We haven't had too much time to get down and dirty out there with all the rain we've had.
That's okay. Anything green and bushy sounds great to us. We've been in the city too long.
Really, it's so good to see something that isn't gray.
The town is really a very pretty place.
That's probably why great-great-great-great-grandfather Cotton Crump chose this spot for the splinters.
That, I take it, is my ancestor, Cotton Crump.
In all his glory.
A real barrel of laughs, wasn't he?
Not my idea of Santa Claus.
Oh, but girls, he had to be stern.
Such a harsh existence those people led. Imagine what they were up against. What was there to smile about?
Well, Maggie's not exactly a chip off the old block.
Glad to hear it.
Tell me about your mother, Maggie.
Complaining, as usual, but she couldn't be better, really.
Good. She was quite upset, you know, when we first began to take in lodgers.
Mother never did understand the first thing about economics.
Well, we really didn't want to take lodgers, but we had to, because there just wasn't enough money for the upkeep of this old place. Your mother told me to sell it and come live with you, but I couldn't just sell the splinters.
This has worked out beautifully for both of us.
Oh, indeed it has. And it's been very educational taking lodgers in. We have some wonderful people staying with us.
Oh, Miss McCulvey. Meet Maggie, Miss Crump's niece, and her friend June.
I am so charmed. I am Isadora McCulvey, the finest entrepreneur of modern dance within a radius of 50 miles. My latest composition is Flea and Frog Symphony for Feet. Shall I continue?
Of course.
Oh, Miss McCulvey, I believe I hear your telephone ringing downstairs. Perhaps it's Carnegie Hall.
I mustn't keep them waiting. I'll fly on the wings of the wind. So nice to meet you.
We're most tolerant of Miss McCulvey. She did so want to be a great dancer, but so far things haven't worked out for her.
Well, with her talent, it's easy to see why.
Aren't you sweet to say so, dear?
Nice of you to let her dance around the living room.
Oh, she doesn't do that too often. Just on her way to the kitchen.
She does most of her serious work downstairs in her room.
We put her down there so no one would hear her thumping about.
Good thinking. Who else have you got living here? Oh, we have a pleasant couple to cook. I don't know what they do or anything, but they're very nice and always pay their rent on time. And would you believe it? They even raise their own rent.
This morning, they gave us an extra $20 because they like their room so much.
They have the room where Nathaniel Hawthorne spent the night.
Hawthorne? The Hawthorne slept here?
Under this very roof. He may have sat right where you're sitting.
There's no headless horseman hiding around here, is there?
Only on the bookshelf.
Okay. In the meantime, a couple of gangsters show up, and the two little old ladies offer them some dandelion wine.
Oh.
And unfortunately, one of them doesn't survive. Henceforth, enter the superintendent and his sidekick.
Ah.
Thank you, Crump. 17.
Oh, Crump, it's such a relief having that poor man out of here.
I was just thinking the same thing. Thank goodness it's over with.
I don't think we can exactly say it's over with, ladies. Somebody bumped off Miranda. We're going to have to find out who did it, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, we want to do everything we can to help clear all this up.
Glad to see you willing to cooperate with us in our little operation. Now, I got Detective Muckley with me, and I'm putting him in charge of this here investigation, seeing as I got more pressing business to attend to myself. Muckley, get in here. He's new on the job, but he knows his stuff, I hope.
Right here, boss.
Superintendent Muckley, don't forget that. These ladies were just telling me how they're going to cooperate with us on this case.
This case? Yes, that will help.
We wouldn't want to do anything but help.
Imagine that poor man just dropping over like that.
That's how it happened?
He took a sip of wine and poof, he fell over.
Muckley, make a note of that. Ah, that's better.
Superintendent Jones, may I ask you a small question?
Can't think of a reason why not.
You want me to write this down, boss?
Superintendent.
Why did an old pickup come to take poor Mr. Moran away just now?
Why, yes, okay. It's part of our city cutbacks. When some guy kicks the bucket and there ain't no immediate family around, the city sends whatever vehicle they got in the lot. And it sure didn't matter to Moran, right, Muckley?
It seems a bit peculiar.
You want higher taxes just so he could ride around in a limo.
Well, I suppose not. But that man was here to see whether or not we'd been overtaxed already.
Ain't it a shame?
Yes, he was so nice.
But somebody must not have liked him. They stiffed him right here. Got any ideas who?
I don't think so.
How could we? We didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah? And why not?
Well, we never saw Mr. Moran before in our lives.
He and Miss Murray were total strangers.
We can check on that.
Oh, it's the truth. Besides, why would we hurt him if he's here about giving us a tax refund?
Maybe there was something you didn't want him to find out. His visit was a surprise, wasn't it?
Don't tax assessors always come unannounced? We don't have anything to hide, Superintendent.
Certainly not. This is all a horrible mistake.
All right, all right. Turn off the waterworks. I get very cross when I see tears.
Oh, we're very sorry. We wouldn't want to make you cross.
Muckley, I'm going to leave you in charge.
Me?
That's right. And you're going to do a good job, right?
Right, boss.
It's Superintendent Jones, Muckley.
Right, boss.
Superintendent!
Right, boss. I mean, Superintendent.
Now, Detective Muckley, you ought to stay on these here premises for as long as it takes to locate and get the bum or bums who wasted Moran. You don't let anybody out of this place until that creep is found and brought to me personally.
Right, Superintendent Smith.
Jones!
Right, boss. Superintendent.
So you got a bunch of people living here?
Yes, the Splinters is a boarding house.
Then you're all boarded up for a while. I'm putting a couple of guards out front who'll see nobody gets out. You folks do what Muckley here says, and everything will be just peachy, except for the guilty party. That clear?
Yes.
Perfectly.
Good. Now I'm going back to the office. Detective Muckley, you know how to reach me.
Right.
You find the killer, Muckley, and there's a bonus in this for you.
Really?
Yeah, it won't be your last case.
I see.
I'm glad you see. Remember, Muckley, there's a pretty view from the bottom of the river if you mess this up. And I can make sure you see it wearing cement boots.
All right, boss.
For the last time.
A superintendent.
That's better. Now, ladies, do what you're told and nobody gets hurt.
Right, boss. Oh,
superintendent. She meant superintendent.
Call me when you're ready to make an arrest.
Okay. So we got one more with our college student who the two other college, two lady college students think that maybe he's the killer.
Ah.
Which page?
Okay.
Page 35.
And still no bongs from Marcus.
No, we didn't do a bong scene.
This is KPFT. We do our bongs out in the backyard.
I don't want to go there. Thank you.
Start with June's line.
I wonder where your aunt and Mrs. Fern were going. They didn't even notice us.
I think they were working on a crossword puzzle.
Oh, they're such sweet old things.
I know. And every time I see them, I want to straighten this mess up faster and faster. They're so helpless.
So what's the plan, Sherlock?
We're going to try the same thing again tonight.
The old note under the door routine?
Except I'm putting the note under Jerry Parks' door myself.
I still think you're making a big mistake.
Jerry Parks is the logical choice. He may have been lying in wait last night for his chance to get me alone. We don't know. All I'm sure of is that he's a conniving, dangerous killer. Oh, why, Jerry Parks? I was just talking about you.
Morning, Maggie. June.
Sleep good? All night?
I was up late.
Oh? Doing what?
Trying to study.
Chemistry?
A little. I had some lab reports to write up, too.
Those aren't as much fun as toxic chemistry, are they?
Whoever said toxic chemistry is fun?
I thought you were interested in poisons. Cyanide, arsenic, strychnine, all that.
Not really. Can I bring you some tea?
No. I never drink tea.
But I'd love some, Mr. Parks.
Coming right up. And you should call me Jerry.
Are you crazy taking tea from him?
I thought you were the one who said he was innocent.
He is, but I'm not taking any chances.
All I'm going to do is give him the perfect opportunity.
He's not going to try anything in broad daylight. Is he?
He killed Moran in broad daylight, didn't he? Besides, I have a plan.
You have more plans than an architect.
Oh, thank you, Jerry.
I was anxious to see you this morning.
Why?
I wanted to apologize.
Whatever for?
For being such a creep yesterday. I wasn't at my best.
I thought you were just charming.
You don't have to tell me that. I know how I was. Since we have to be here until this thing is over, I guess we ought to make the best of it, don't you think?
Sure, why not?
You accept my apologies?
Sure.
And you, June?
I guess so.
I don't know why I act like that. I guess it's just a defense.
We all need defenses. Just like criminals.
That's a funny way of looking at it.
Well, let's bury the hatchet.
Maggie, no!
June, now look what you made me do!
I'm sorry, but...
I'll go get some more.
Oh, that's okay, Jerry. I have to go change. I'm soaked.
Yeah, you did get a bit wet.
Thanks for the tea anyway.
Sorry you didn't get to drink any of it.
It's the thought that counts. You clumsy oaf! Now I'll never get the stain out.
Arsenic.
Okay.
Ooh.
Now you have to come out and find out who really did it.
Who really done it?
Anyway, like I said, we run through March the 22nd.
Uh-huh.
Friday and Saturdays at 8:30. Two Sunday matinees on March the 9th and the 16th.
Okay.
And we're conveniently located at 1410 West 43rd.
Yes, you are.
And the telephone number, 24 hours, 7 days a week, 713-682-3525.
Or you go on the net at Theatra Suburbia.
You got it.
.com. I have to ask.
We'll get it all done.
Yeah. That's Theatra with an
yes,
R-E.
Right. The yes. English way.
Yes, yes, yes.
And remember, all the listeners out there that say they heard us on KPFT get 2-for-1.
Hey, that's a nice cheap date. Call and get 2 tickets for the price of 1.
That's all you ever had was cheap dates, Jimmy.
Yeah, well.
Dan can tell you about cheap dates.
Ooh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Can I get
okay.
that my phone number?
We're going to we're gonna talk. We're going to talk.
Only to Jimmy.
Walgreens.
So we have an ex-convict who's now a cop.
Okay. You'll have to come see the show and find out, won't you?
Is that the deal?
At least he was listening, Doris.
Could be.
He rarely listens.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a lot of shifty characters in this show.
He can tell by looking around the room.
These sweet, lovely little old ladies.
I didn't do nothing.
A sexy blonde and a couple of good-looking college kids. And I'm not too sure about the other college.
I can't wait to see the dance. I can't wait to see the dancer.
The dancing is what you need to see.
Oh, yeah.
I knew she could not sit here and do these lines without moving around. I was watching her through the glass.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way she could do that standing still.
I can't move my arms. I can't see the lines without moving.
I don't want to go there.
That's great.
Okay.
Thank you for being here on After Hours. I can't wait to see this show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Before we go, I need two bongs from Marcus.
Okay.
Bong.
See me a great bonger? Bye.
I'm speechless.
I know.
Clip.
Yes.
With Rescue Me.
Yeah. He's my new favorite transgender artist.
Yeah. And maybe you'll find a second song you like.
Ouch. No, I've got three of them listed, but, you know, we're running tight, so I played the shortest one and the one, you know, I do like that one the best. Yeah. Rescue Me. Speaking of music, this is the coming up on the fourth Monday of the month, and that means it's time for Queer Musical Music Heritage on Queer Voices, heard every Monday night from 8 to 10. So from 9 to 10, you're going to hear J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage, and this month featuring new queer musicals showcasing Bear the Musical. So listen in on that. And something else to think about is that this is Pledge Drive.
It's Pledge Drive here on KPFT Houston.
Yes.
And
very
we,
good. You sneaked that one in.
And we need your pledge of support to show that programming like After Hours is still relevant. It's still needed. It's still important.
Yeah, more than ever.
And
more than ever in the days of the Bush White House.
And we've got a Big Roy sitting out there waiting for a phone call.
Mm-hmm. We have any number of folks out there, really, you know, fine folks, cute folks, older folks, male, female, you know, you've got your choice. You know, call up and say, hey, I want to talk to whatever.
Yeah, and once again, well, yeah, we do our little traditional goofy things here. We've got the cocktails for KPFT.
Ooh.
Give up one cocktail a month for us here at KPFT. That's $5 a month.
There you go.
That's a $60 pledge.
Then that's so cool.
And we've got the KPFT cranker.
Mm-hmm.
Where else can 30 seconds of cranking gives you 30 minutes of pleasure?
Absolutely.
It's
3 minutes.
No, 30 seconds gives you 30 minutes.
30 seconds
30
of cranking?
Seconds of cranking gives you 30 minutes of pleasure.
Wow.
That is the cranker radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's AM, FM, weather band emergency. It'll recharge your cell phone. I think it has a flashlight on it, too.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And it's crank operated.
Thing. Yeah.
You know crank operated stuff, don't you, Judy?
You remember those, don't you, honey? Oh. Yeah, I know.
And the new thing they're really pushing this pledge drive is the KPFT bags.
Oh, yeah. Those are cool.
It's, if I remember correctly, it's what, one for 50, two for 75, and five for 100?
Something
like that.
I don't know.
They have all the information on that. I guess it's similar to the bag I got back
there. It's a very, very heavy plastic tote bag. Very large, actually.
Yeah, I think it's like this one.
Yeah.
But they can't see it on the radio.
They can't see that.
So mine is in pink. With a big hole in it.
Sounds like me.
I was going to say that. But you know, you're not that strapping. 713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT is the number to call. Operators are sitting on their asses waiting for you to call.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to call and give the information to Big Roy, you can go to kpft.org and place your pledge safely and securely online.
Yes. Yes, you can. And it's time for...
You're on.
Hello. Wow. I have our intro.
Okay. I didn't know if that was going to be that, so...
Oh, my God. Hi, this is...
There you go. There's...
Wow.
It's because you called
me. I was thrown off. Hello, this is T-Talk, and we are
here this evening, Eminem, but we are minus Miss Mel, my usual cohort in crime, but we have a step-in M, and joining me this evening is Mike.
Hi, everybody.
And he is a good friend of mine, and he's been so gracious to be able to come and help out and, you know, just kind of fill in at the last minute. So, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And he's really great. He's
thank
a great
you.
Guitar player. We play on Wednesday morning, so... but we are here, and we missed last month. Oops. But we are here to talk a little bit about voting. And typically, you know, our format is not so much political. We like to have fun, but we are going to be talking about that, as well as some community that's going on in the transgender community here in Houston. And then we're going to be talking about health and fitness. That's something that Mel was wanting to talk about. So we're going to make sure that we put her 2 cents in there, even though she's not here. She's at home, sick with the flu. So, hope you get better, Mel.
Hi, Mel.
We had a whole room full of guys, and now they've disappeared. I see them being shooed out, so that's probably what's going on. We are here. We were talking about this earlier, right, Mike?
Yes, we were.
About the voting and just the historical time that we're in right now.
It's a very exciting time.
I know. We were talking in my sociology class about just the potentiality of what we have going on. And I think it's really important for us as trans people to get out there and make our voices heard. I know that I'm a registered voter.
I'm absolutely registered.
Even though I am a Republican.
Oh, I won't tell anyone that you're a Republican.
I'm not. I'm just a registered Republican. It's actually a ploy that I was taught early on to make them think that they had more. But I've learned actually.
It's like a conspiracy theory.
No, I've learned to really look and educate myself on the viewpoints of the politicians, and basically kind of where this is going is I'm not endorsing one person or the other, but I'm really endorsing the fact to get out there and get registered to vote. You know, I've heard so many people, all my friends, tell me my vote doesn't matter. And you know, even in the last presidential election, we saw how close it was. And, you know, it was down to the wire, and it was determined in some states by just hundreds of votes, and that's such a small number.
Your vote matters because it's about having a right to vote.
And also, I think that something that people don't really realize is when they're not voting, then their voice is not being heard, but the other people, no matter who the other people is letting their voice be heard.
Yes, well, see, I'm a feminist transgender man, so the voice is extremely important. You know, having lived as a woman for a long time, I have a lot of concern about having a voice. And when you have a voice, you have power. If you give up your voice, you're giving up your power.
Well, that is very, very important. And, you know, I just want to encourage everyone to take the opportunity. We have a lovely organization here in Houston. It's called the Houston GLBT Political Caucus. But I would like to rename it, even though it's not with their permission, the Houston TLGB Caucus. That's something that our good friend Lily would like.
You want to rewrite the alphabet?
Rewrite the alphabet. Instead of GLBT, it's TLBG.
Let's talk to Big Bird about that. You think he'd let us change his alphabet song, Big Bird?
I don't know.
That would be tricky, starting with a T.
Dackleback on Opa Dabber to do where it is.
Well, you know, we always get tacked on into the end, so I like to put us at the front sometimes. It's kind of important.
Yes.
T-L. Instead of G-L-B-T, putting T at the end, yeah. We're putting us to the front.
It's hard to put yourself first when you're used to being last.
Well, I think that that's important. And that's my voice being heard.
That's a great voice. Use it more.
Yeah, so on their website, it's hglbtpc.org. And it is the oldest GLBT civil rights organization, and they have a really cool website. It talks about different political views of the politicians. It talks about events that where you can really get plugged into if you're interested in that. But the most important thing is they kind of do a survey on the views of the politicians who are going to be dictating public policy legislation that affects us directly. And they have filled out a survey, and they kind of set out a guide to vote for. And so that kind of gives you an idea of who to look at and kind of who to look up. So I think it's important to make an informed decision, because these people are in charge, but we're in charge of putting them in charge. So get out there, get registered to vote, 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 vote.
So you can have your voice on the survey before you take your voice in the election.
Yeah.
Great. It's almost like a practice run.
Yeah.
Great. Nice. Warm up that voice.
Yes. Stretch that voice muscle, the vocal cords of choice.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about you, Mike. You had shared with our viewers or listeners that you're a trans man. Tell us a little bit about your history and kind of where you come from and a feminist trans man.
Absolutely.
That.
Well, I come from the Pleiades. Oh, that's going too far back, probably.
Yeah, it's okay. Show. Go ahead.
Okay.
Tell our listeners.
Well, I didn't start voting until I was 18. So we started voting age, or go back further. Okay. Three years old, I knew I was masculine, you know. And by 30, it was really pushing into an issue. And by 40, I was a guy. So there you have it.
Wow.
That's the short version.
Wow.
But in master's school, I'm a marriage and family therapist. And I went to school at U of H Clear Lake. Just a wonderful experience. And I
go Cougs!
Yeah. Woo. I was a... Well, Clear Lake, yeah, it's great. Anyway, I was a feminist theorist there.
Mm-hmm.
And I still adopt all those principles. And I'm very committed as a transgender man of advocating for women and children in every way possible. So...
Well, I think that's really cool, too, because a lot of people don't realize that this is something that I've seen, you know, having been male before and being part of the patriarchal society and really transitioning, that was a real challenge for me to be accustomed to all the privileges of being male. But then once I become female, stepping out of that role and having to, I almost felt like I was being dumbed down. And it was funny because people, I was always up in your face and really bold. I liked my voice to be heard. Wouldn't let men open the door for me. I was very, what society would see as an aggressive woman. And because I wanted my opinions to be heard, you know, I wouldn't just be in the background and be quiet. And we need more of that, I think, with the guys to be able to be sensitive to women. Talk about the feminist viewpoint, because I don't really know about the feminist perspective or feminist theory.
Feminism really looks at the way power is distributed, particularly with gender and hierarchy, and it's a perspective that seeks to balance power and to give voice to power in both genders and in between genders, so that that equality is at best temperate or short-term as people are growing into to sharing power. And, you know, we live in a very hierarchically based society where power is very heavy in those that have privilege and not so much in other areas that don't have privilege, and there's a system, an institutionalized system that maintains that. And so that's why the voting is so important, because that's where those of us that historically have not been given power and are oppressed and repressed can get our voice, to get our power in our advocacy and activism and voting. And I do know that in Houston, when you move to an address, you need to change your voter's registration card right away, because there's a 30-day limit, I believe, where you cannot vote unless you go back to your old district. So if you're moving, be sure to change your voter's registration.
Well, and they even sent me a card that said, are you at your address? If you're not at your address, fill this out anyway. So I know that I had to re-register in Harris County. Mm-hmm. And you can look it up on the web. I was looking here at voter registration. And just
HarrisVotes.com.
What is it?
HarrisVotes.com.
HarrisVotes.com. We have been informed. And I think that you can do it in English, Spanish, Vietnamese. I'm looking at the website right now, and it's pretty straightforward, so.
Right. Yeah, and feminism also is very concerned about men, the feminist perspective with the. From the men's perspective in feminism is that they have been robbed the opportunity to be empowered and to grow on a personal level, because in having a hierarchy of privilege, they're never given feedback that's the truth about how they are and what they're experiencing. It's always weighted with someone's agenda to maintain the hierarchy, so it makes it very hard for men to grow personally. So the male perspective of feminism would be that's really a problem, and that things have to be equalized out so that everybody can evolve.
So how do you feel about Hillary? Because we were talking about this and last night over breakfast, and I think that it's really cool that Hillary is stepping up to the plate, but I've heard a lot of talk. People are kind of, you know, put off by her. I don't know if it's so much her policies or we suggested that it's just because she's able to step up and do the things like face-to-face that the guys do. And we called her a woman with the balls to do what needs to be done.
I don't know if that's a compliment to a woman.
I used to be a woman with those kinds of...
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
Anyway, hey, it doesn't bother me.
Great.
I think that there's all kinds in this world, and... You know, that's the beauty of it. But that was just, you know, kind of the perspective. And the guy that I was talking to, he was a trans man, and he was a fiery little Italian guy. And he said that he's voting for Hillary just because she's got the brass cojones to, you know, step up and face off with people. Mm. Which I don't think necessarily is the right tactic, you know, because when looking at issues, I think that there's some questionability, but I like the fact that she's actually doing it.
I'm very excited that there's a woman who's a candidate for presidency. That's exciting and historical, and I think it would tempt those that have a feminine persuasion to vote for that reason. But I think the person for the job has to also have the background and ability to do the job. I do believe that Hillary certainly does. I'm more of a person who feels the energy of things, and I've always felt good about Hillary's energy despite her political history and some of her controversy involvements and relationship with her husband and all that, but you know.
Well, I mean, it's politics. You're always going to have that controversy, and
well, it's kind of like a celebrity, you know, who knows what the truth is about their life, and in the end, they're all probably all very human.
Well, I'm a Hillary fan, so. Yeah. Well, great. Thanks for sharing that.
Great.
We are going to be talking a little bit more about community events and kind of how you can get plugged into talking about the GLBT caucus. Right now we're going to be listening to this lovely group. It's called the Kinsey Six, and they are a group from Castro. And I was looking at their website. They actually started over a decade ago, and they went to a Bette Midler concert as the Andrews Sisters. and they thought that they would be the only, or they wouldn't be the only drag queens there, and they actually were. And they said, besides Bette, which, you know, we love Bette, she's a great entertainer and she's really theatrical, but this is a little ditty called Keep Your Hands Away. And I think that all of our listeners out there, trans or maybe not even trans, can kind of relate to this. So we're going to be listening to the Kinsey Six, Keep Your Hands Away.
Mama used to say to me, stay out of my jewelry. Mama used to say to me, keep your hands away.
Your mother was Jamaican.
I never told you.
No.
Don't touch my cosmetic drawer. Leave those high heels on the floor. They will leave you wanting more. Keep your hands away. No more fingerprints or chocolatey mess on my pantyhose or cocktail dress. Being a real lady calls for finesse. Keep your hands away. Don't frown, oh my pet. You're down but not out yet. Try a cigarette, that should keep your hands away. Mama used to say to me, stay out of my jewelry. Mama used to say to me, keep your hands away. Mama used to say to me, stay out of my jewelry. Mama used to say to me, keep your hands away. No more fingerprints or chocolatey mess on my pantyhose or cocktail dress. Being a real lady calls for finesse. Keep your hands away. Keep your hands away.
All right, that was the Kinsey Six and Keep Your Hands Away. God, that was so festive.
Oh yeah, very. I feel like I didn't know you were Jamaican.
No, yeah. Well, I didn't think that they were, but it was part of. I don't know.
Is that go in the category of your mama said, or is that different?
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm not Jamaican.
I'm not Jamaican.
I think you're Jamaican this up.
They call themselves a drag barbershop quartet.
Beauty shop quartet. Which so. Is much different than a barbershop. I'm a hairdresser and we get technical.
Yeah. They've been around for a while. A staple around here. They come down and they perform in the Houston area at least once a year. They've done fundraisers for PFLAG.
Yeah, they're
Hobby Center.
They're really great. And we've got another song that we're going to listen to. They do just a range of music. But I was listening to that song. It reminds me of when I used to dress up in my mom's clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember she's like, oh my God. But, you know, she probably knew that I was like I was. I remember my grandmother saying, you know, I just remember when you were young, I knew there was something different about you.
Yeah, and they knew something was different about me when I put dresses on, too, and threw a temper tantrum and kicked and screamed and bit them. Yeah. I was a holy terror in a dress by three.
Well, dresses, they're different. And some of us should, you know, it's not... I wanted patent leather shoes. I didn't really like the dresses, like the big foofy dresses, but it seemed like that's all what they always wanted.
Well, come see, I've never seen you in a big foofy dress.
I don't like big foofy dresses. I like nice, tight, sexy dresses.
Well, I've seen you in that.
Did you see the black dress I had on last night?
I did. You looked fabulous.
Yeah. We actually, Mike and I had the opportunity to go to a benefit here in the community. This is kind of segueing into our community events portion of the show, but we had a benefit for one of the guys here in the community. He's raising money to get his chest surgery, which is a major financial undergoing a lot of times for people. And so we kind of got together as a community and raised money. There was a lot of local entertainers, drag kings
and drag queens.
And drag queens. I actually performed. It was great.
Drew, are you technically still a drag queen or?
Well, you know, I consider myself a drag queen because that's what someone said. They said, well, you're not in drag. And I look at it kind of as a character. Like, my stage name is Melissa Stone. And I put on what I call the, we can't say the B word, can we?
Bitch or bastard?
Bitch.
Yeah, you can say it.
Okay. So I put on the bitch persona. And I've had so many people tell me when I'm on stage, mm-hmm. they think I'm mean or I'm a bitch really? Because I put that persona on. Although the number you saw last night wasn't really kind of.
I was going to say, I didn't see a bitchiness in you last night.
Yeah, and it really just depends, but I consider myself a drag queen.
I saw more of a diva energy last night.
Yeah, the diva energy is there, and that comes with, like, the bitchiness. Like, if you would have seen some of the music that I typically do, like, that's just a song that I did just because a lot of people would recognize it. And as an entertainer, I put a lot of thought into that. As are people going to recognize the song? Usually people will give more money if they can know the song, sing along with the song and stuff.
You must have done really well because I felt moved to give a lot of money when you did that song.
I did do well, and that's something that I really like to do. But I got out of it because it's just kind of a negative atmosphere sometimes and can really be a downer. And, you know, I think it's a great art expression, and I really only do benefits now that's going to benefit a cause. I've done a lot of HIV and AIDS mm-hmm. fundraisers and stuff.
It sounds like we need to bring drag out of the darkness and the night and into the sunlight.
Well, and that's something that we had talked about. You know, this benefit was a one-time thing for this young man, Lance, and we had talked about doing benefits on a regular basis once a month to benefit the transgender community. So keep your eyes and ears open to that. And if you see that or read about that, come out and support us. Because really, without the community coming together, it's no good.
You know, I saw him dive into a phone booth last night. And then he came out and he looked like he had really been working out a lot.
Yes. He was Superman.
He had turned into Superman.
Yes.
And I was just shocked. I asked him, though, where his glasses were.
And what did he say?
He said, oh, I forgot about the glasses.
the young man, Lance, he's really into Superman. So he was in full Superman regalia last night. And that was really fun. And they actually, I think it was something that the Gendermen is kind of a drag king troupe. And I don't exactly know where they're from. But they're pretty well known. And they put him up to that. So they were really elaborate, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. They're really a fun group that's playing with gender stereotypes and GLBT stereotypes and really jumbling things with gender and gender interaction up. A lot of fun.
I thought it was great. Also coming up, this is very important in the community. We have a transgender dance. It's actually next month, and this is to raise money for the training queue. And it's going to be March 29th. The tickets are $3 for individuals, $5 for couples. If you want to find out about it, go to www.transhouston.com, and there should be a link on there. And we are trying to, the month of Pride, we always have a tranny queue. So if you're transgendered or trans friendly or just want to come and have fun, we all get together and we cook out and pitch in and play games. And last year it was a lot of fun. And it's an annual event, so we're trying to raise the money for that. And we are going to have the Easter Bunny. I don't think that he knows about it, but we've put in a request.
At the training queue?
At the training queue, at the bunny hop.
Oh, at the bunny
transgendered,
hop.
Transgendered bunny hop, tranny dance.
I bet the bunny's really happy about that.
You know, I heard that he was caught in high heels. So, I don't think he's too upset about
it. Was
a
spring form?
Probably. Yeah. And also, we have coming up the, in the month of April, it is the Unity Banquet. It's the annual formal black tie event here, or, well, semi-formal, I've been told. It is the 26th of April, and you can get tickets. The HTUC, Houston Transgender Unity Committee site, has tickets available online. There's a link on there, as well as a link on the Trans Houston website. Or if you see someone who is on the Unity Committee, they have tickets as well. If you're like me and you like to exchange cash for physical tickets.
What about ascots? Can you wear ascots to this event?
I believe that you can. I don't think I've been told that at least you have to have a coat and tie.
A coat and tie.
It's very formal.
Oh,
but I don't know. Formal for me is not that difficult, but I put on...
Isn't that a dilemma for the women?
I don't know.
Or do they have different requirements?
I think that they have different requirements. Traditionally, usually the girls wear the dresses, but I guess it depends on whether you identify as a girl.
Why do girls get more choices?
I don't know. I want to have a little girl eventually, just because it's more fun to shop for girls.
Yeah, they can go. They don't have as strict rules as the guys.
I don't know. Maybe we should discuss that later, like a topic coming up. Just fashion and gender.
We should put that in the elections and vote on those rules. Who makes them up anyway?
I think it's kind of an unspoken thing. Well, social institution.
Well, it's back to the feminism.
Yes, back to the feminism. Well, unfortunately, you know, I don't know about that. I've just been told that it's a formal event or semi-formal event. And it's raising money for the scholarship fund. If you're a transgendered student, you can apply for the scholarship fund. And they're giving away, I believe, $1,000. Don't quote me on that. But and it's just really fun to come out and get together and dress up. And I know I like to dress up and get pretty, and I know some of the guys do too.
I contributed to that scholarship fund.
Yeah, did you?
I did.
Well, we do events all throughout the year, but that's actually, they will be awarding the scholarship at the mm-hmm. Unity Banquet, and it's just fun. Also, Jenny Boylan is going to be speaking at that. She is an author, transgender lady, and she... It's really great from what I've heard. I want to read her book. They'll have books there for sale. And she is really awesome from what I hear. And so come out and participate in that. Also, we have the CAB, and that's Community Advisory Board. It kind of is a panel. We're looking for people who want to get plugged in. If you go to transhouston.com, you can find out about the meetings that we have on Mondays and Thursdays. But it's an opportunity to get plugged in, and also the Houston Transgender Unity Committee. It's kind of a umbrella group that encompasses all the different, I guess, factions would be. You've got your transgendered men, transgendered women, gays, lesbians, bisexuals like myself, and we kind of come together and support each other. And
I call it the think tank.
The think tank.
The transgender think tank.
Well, we're on that.
Yeah.
We're there. Yeah. So, it's really fun, and I mean, I tell you, I love it. They meet once a month. The CAB, Community Advisory Board, meets once a month, and it's a great opportunity to participate. And if you just want to check us out, we meet Mondays at the Haven Center on Alabama, and then Thursdays at the GLBT Center. And the third Thursday of the month at the GLBT Center, they usually have a class. And this last week, we learned about self-defense. And we had a young man who was into martial arts. He was a very high-degree belt. And he taught us how to kind of basically defend ourselves, you know, pretty basic stuff. But it was a great opportunity to learn about self-defense. So come out, check us out, and get yourself plugged in.
Great. Those self-defense classes are important. They saved my life and my transgender foster daughter's life. One day we were attacked in a hate crime, and what we learned in those classes saved our lives. So very important.
Yeah. We're going to move on now. Do we have that other track queued up? This track is from the Kinsey Six, and it is self-explanatory. Let it roll.
Promise me that you will never sing this song again, no matter what happens. promise me now, Jeremy.
I promise.
And never let go of that promise.
I'll never let go, girls. I'll never let go.
All right, that was the Kinsey Six. That's S-A-C-K-S. I'm kind of playing words there. But that was great.
It was great. It's been a lot of years that I've heard that song.
Now, Mike actually chose that song. Would you like to talk to them about why that song spoke to you?
Well, some things are just so serious, you have to break that up somehow. You know, that was a very tragic movie. The Titanic was a very serious event.
Do you know, I saw that movie 6 times, literally.
See, somebody had
to... 6, or maybe even 7.
Somebody had to break that up for you.
Oh, it's...
You just should have heard the 6 before the 7th.
I love that, though. And I actually went to the theater and paid the $7 or $8.
Yeah, people dream about that kind of true love, right? Wasn't that tragic to have... True love one moment and to be dead the next.
Yeah. It was kind of up there and then down there and kind of bipolar in a way.
It's just tragic.
I don't know. It was a good movie, but it wasn't make-believe, too. I mean, you have to...
I heard that it was actually based on a true event.
No, the Titanic was true.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
I think the love story was a possible reality.
Well, I love Celine Dion, and I love that song. I thought that was great, but yeah, that parody was even better.
But, you know, sometimes it's just fun to, really almost perfect people.
Yeah.
You know, because so many of us, just can't get there, so it's just normalizing to, just take a super... model type perfect person and just do a drag piece like that about them.
I would love to see them in concert. I think that would be great.
Oh yeah, they seem like
we'll have to do that together.
They seem like a shot in the arm for sure.
Well, we're going to be moving on. Our time is slowly ticking away, and we're going to move on to the health and fitness segment. And, you know, this was something that Mel wanted to talk about, and so I'm going to try and do it justice as far as my perspective. She sent me a bunch of sites, and, you know, there's a lot of different things that relate to healthcare concerns and transgendered healthcare bias and discrimination by the medical community. I remember when I was young, I transitioned when I was 15, and going to the doctor was kind of traumatic because I didn't know where to go. They always would, have groups of people come in and, watch and observe, the medical students, which I kind of dealt with it, but it's kind of, if you're not really that, comfortable with yourself, I think that would be kind of traumatic, and it did traumatize me a little bit, but in the end I was a better person for it, and hopefully those doctors were a little bit better for it, being exposed to that. Delayed medical care, that's a huge issue, you know, people just getting shocked and saying their natural tendencies to be discriminating about something that they don't really understand. You know, I think it's important to...
Yeah, it's very, very intimidating, the healthcare issues. It was something I had to sort out when my transgender daughter got attacked in hate crime, whether to take her to the emergency room or not, where she might be further traumatized by someone who is not receptive there.
And it's a real issue.
It's very difficult.
And just the lack of studies and research of, you know, issues related to transgendered health. Of course, there's the mental health of it. We're all aware about people needing mental health, I think, in general, but especially transgender people, the reluctancy to seek care. And, I mean, insurance, oh, God, that's just a mess when it comes to transgender issues. I know people who completely and totally hide their gender issues from their insurance company just so that they can get hormone therapy.
Yeah, it's really, it's a necessity.
And, you know, like you had said, negative exposure to the insensitive providers, and then you get to hormone therapy and then surgical alteration of the body. I mean, that's just a necessity for some trans folk. And
I experienced in my own transition the hoops that I have to jump through to get medical care that's necessary for this process. Very intimidating at times.
Well, and people, I think, have a tendency to belittle you and, you know, try to approach it from just a clearly clinical or medical perspective to take away and make them feel more comfortable about it because it's something that may touch on them and issues that they may have, or, you know, I don't know, but I think that sometimes it can be so cold the way that medical professionals deal with you. And once you actually do get involved, then, you know, there's the process of being open with your healthcare provider and, you know, sharing that with them. And, you know, we obviously have a lot of complex health issues to deal with because we have our care of our initial anatomical sex, and then we also have care of anatomical changes, you know, hormones, the changes that go through hormone. I know a lot of trans women need to be aware of, like, prostate health. That's something that's really important with hormones. Is there anything that guys have to look out for?
There are lots of issues that guys have to look out for, too. Although, when I got my last physical, my doctor, gratefully, he took a deep breath and he said, oh, well, at least we don't have to worry about prostate with you. But he was tempted to do that exam anyway because he, you know, he couldn't see me any other way than as a man. The trans guys have to worry about the uterus and the trans man's exam at that point. That should be done annually if they haven't had a hysterectomy. And also for those that are over 35 that have not had their top surgery, and I would have to also kind of study that to see what needs to be looked at even past that. But the maintained mammogram exams to be preventative of cancer.
Yeah,
those are ongoing concerns.
They have an examination of uterus and ovaries before the hysterectomy, hormone therapy supervision, just routine clinical self-breast examination, mammograms, clinical penis examinations, it says, following the penis construction, sigmoidoscopy.
I don't know what that is.
You know, just,
I didn't finish medical school.
Just taking care of yourself, and that's important. There's a website. It is on lgbthealthchannel.com/transgender. There's a whole list of information that hopefully you can access and look up. And I found that a lot of times, just dealing with my doctor, if I have questions relating to my care written down on a piece of paper, it really helps to clarify, because they come in, they're like, oh, what do you want, this, do you want that, or, you know, it really gives focus and you get the most out of your doctor's visit. And if they do get a little bit uncomfortable, at least you can have something to kind of guide the conversation.
That's a good idea, because I know my first exams in the early process were very nerve-wracking for me, and it was easy to forget.
Yeah,
things that were really important. And those doctor's offices didn't come easily, so to have forgotten something was huge.
And very easy to do.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, you can just very easily make a list of questions. A lot of people get their information health-wise from websites. And, you know, I think it's important to educate yourself and ask your doctors questions and educate them if they don't know, you know. It's all about education. Knowledge is power. And
I have always taken the approach of educating the doctors that I work with, and I've chosen doctors that are open to that, and I prefer doctors that will, you know, take my input and make it part of our plan together for my medical care.
And just looking at different things, I know that Melanie was wanting to talk about fitness and kind of fitness and training and different aspects of that, because, you know, transgendered folks have different, if you have had an orchiectomy, or that's where you basically get castrated physically, you know, you're trying to tone and not build muscle mass. You don't want to have very masculine muscles. How to do that. Also, you know, it's important for guys to, you know, trying to build muscle bulk, I guess. And a lot of the guys that I know think that that's important to pass, from what I've heard. I don't know if that's a real issue.
I think a lot of that's genetic, too. I don't have to do a lot of working out to be muscular. The hormone seems to do that itself.
Well, T is powerful, like testosterone. T is what they call testosterone, and it is, I know from my own personal experience, once I had my orchiectomy and basically had the majority of testosterone removed from my system, I was completely and totally changed. And so the lack of that showed me how powerful that hormone was. But, you know, I've seen a lot of guys change tremendously.
Oh, tremendous changes. I think I've gone through three different, you know, size ups of clothing.
Isn't that cool? I think
it's really cool on your budget.
Looking at how something like hormones, the chemical messengers of the body, actually allow us to change, and just looking at the genetics of it, you know, we have the genetic code for male and female, and just by something like the hormone levels that allows us to be able to adapt.
It's a paradoxical reality that there's so little difference between the genders, and yet they're so different.
I think it's awesome.
Just the inverse of each other, the mirror image of each other. Very interesting.
Well, there is a great opportunity to really kind of support a cause. This is something that I'm going to be doing, walking for the AIDS walk. And it's a great opportunity to kind of make yourself get in shape as well. It's coming up, and it's the Houston AIDS walk. I don't know. Have you heard about that, Mike?
I have not. Not yet.
I know that we're going to be walking with our church. Let's see here. I'm looking it up on the internet now. It is going to be here in Houston. The center is off of Wesleyan, but it is typically in March, March 9th, 2008, at the Sam Houston Park. And you can go to the website. It is AIDSHelp.org. And look for information on that. Individual sign up, joining a team. But walking, I think, is a great way to, you know, really keep in shape and keep your cardiovascular health going. I think that that's something. I read an article about hormones and how it affects your cardiovascular system, kind of in a negative way if you don't keep in shape. But I think fitness in general is something that we need to be aware of. And did you know Houston is the fattest city in the United States? That's something that I learned about. So,
no, I didn't know that.
Isn't that crazy? And we were talking about that in class. They were saying, yeah, well, it stands to reason because we don't really have a lot of places that we can walk to.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use our cars to get to and fro. We don't have a lot of opportunity for exercise. And, you know, you got New York where you basically walk or take the subway. Most places are usually large metropolitan cities mm-hmm. have a mass public transportation system. But we're fat.
It's really true. I've never looked at an aerial view of Houston to see how fat it really is.
You know, I just thought that that was interesting. And, you know, most of the people that I know are trying to get in shape. And I know I've started swimming, which is great exercise. No impact. You know, you've got the water, so you don't have to worry about it affecting your joints. I've noticed walking. I used to be a waitress, and then being a bartender and drag queen, walking around in heels and stuff.
Is that good exercise, walking in heels?
Yes, but I found that once I've returned back to that after being a hairdresser, standing on my feet, it almost cripples me, you know, because it throws your leg muscles in a completely different kind of way. I don't know how to really say it, but oh my God, usually when I'm walking around heels, after the next day, it's like...
It's amazing. I saw this amazing woman at my job the other day. She's a forensic specialist that works in Child Protective Services. And she walked in. She looked like someone off of Charlie's Angels. She had on a 2-inch platform heel. And she's out in the field where it's kind of dangerous at times. And I had been told that people always asked her, can you feel safe in those? And she says, oh, yeah, I can run in these really well. It's no problem at all.
Wow.
Yeah, she's like Superwoman.
Well, we used to have drag races where we would race in the hills. And I know, God, I used to do it so much. I bartended in hills. But now, I don't know if it's just because I'm used to working in flats because I'm a hairdresser, what the deal is. But I just can't do it that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And hills, I've been told, are bad for women's feet. I think, speaking from the feminist perspective, I've been told that a lot of women think that that's something that kind of man has subjected women to make them kind of, it goes along with the feet binding and making them look pretty, their legs. That's what everyone says. Oh, my legs look so great in heels, but
keeping a little off balance.
I think, you know, it's interesting because from what I've been told, wearing heels is not very healthy for your feet. It affects the pulse of your feet. Okay, we have the sign. We're going to be wrapping up. Make sure that if you enjoy listening, you call the 713-526-KPFT if you like listening to us and hearing us go on and babble about transgender issues, transgender community and stuff. And give us some money for the station. You know, it's listener supported. Donate. Donate, donate. This has been the M&M Show, T-Talk, KPFT.
And you've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
And
it is our pledge drive.
I love the M&M Show. I do. And for a while, we've had a transgender segment since the mid-90s. And then for a little while, we didn't have one because we didn't have anybody who would step up to the plate. But the M&M stood up.
I'll have her mic on.
And Melissa.
M&M.
M&M, yeah.
And it's good to have that.
Mel and Mel, actually. But Melissa's always here.
And hopefully we'll get Melanie back.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got the flu. She didn't want to get us all sick, so.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Very considerate of her listeners.
Yes, yes. But Melissa always has a nice, tight show going.
Well,
and
thank you.
She's always up on what's going on in the T community. And that's really important for me and very important for the listeners.
Because, you know, Jimmy and I can't talk about
we're not transgender, so, I mean, I wouldn't even attempt to try to talk about transgender issues. That wouldn't be fair, and wouldn't be fair to the listeners, and it wouldn't be fair to the transgender community.
He doesn't even do a half-decent drag.
No, I don't.
Well, if you need help, we have a website that can teach you how. And I'm really good with makeup, so.
Oh, you are?
Yes. Mm.
I'm going to need that.
She's going to put me in drag soon.
Because I belong to a fundraising group, and once a year they do a turnabout where the male line members have to perform in drag. And I'm not.
I love those.
You know, I
the last time I got into drag, I looked into the mirror and I saw Loretta Lynn's mother. So, you know, it's just not a pretty sight.
I could see you as Dolly Parton. I think you would do a great Dolly. We could do it. No, ooh. 9 to 5.
9 to 5.
Okay.
9 to 5. Take the empty cans of foundation, use on the face, and put it in the chest.
Yeah.
Or we could do Cher. You know, Cher's always very popular. Great.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking you could have done with, you know, with...
Do the hair flick and the lick.
Flick and lick. You didn't see that. But
yeah, that's
very important in Cher.
Very good, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So, well, we do have one person to thank. We have to thank Paul for his generous pledge. Got us almost halfway there.
I love it.
Thank you.
I love it. Thank you, Paul.
You rock.
And so we need another Paul.
Yes.
We do. Or two or three.
Or six.
Or six.
Or George.
Anyway, what I wanted to say is the segments that we have, the most popular segments, the ones we get letters from and we hear about the most, are the transgender segment and the leather segment. So a lot of the letters that we get are from, or the calls we get are from straight people. So you are educating Houston.
Cool.
And that's kind of the reason that we're here.
That's what it's about.
That's right, because when you don't know about a segment of society, when you don't know much, when it's, you're ignorant of them, then it's easy to be afraid and fearful and get a lot of misinformation. And it's, you know, just like the gay community, when they know us, they realize that we're them.
Well, and people are scared about things that they don't know.
Yes.
So the more that they know, the less.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's something I've always thought is important, to just be out there and to really let people know. A lot of transgender people want to kind of blend in.
Sure.
And, you know, that's a personal decision, mm-hmm. but, you know, I think it's important at certain times to be able to, you know, educate.
Absolutely.
People.
Stand up and say, look at me, this is what I am, and let people know that you are, and other T people are, all in society everywhere.
And have been for a long time.
Yes. 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 So thank you for the segment.
Thank you.
And we'll see you
Thanks
again
for
next
having
month.
Us.
All every
right.
fourth Saturday.
Fourth Saturday slash Sunday.
Yeah. No, not necessarily the last one, but the fourth one.
Fourth one. That's right.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. 713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT.
We've got the buy segment coming up.
And I'm going to see if I get the computer to play here. You guys are going to want to watch this little video.
Oh.
This is a cute song that I forget where I tracked it down from. I think it was from Tell the Road.
Uh-huh.
On here. It's from, it's a skit, sketch comedy group on the independent film channel called The Whitest Kids You Know.
Wow.
And it's a cute little song, and it's called Totally Gay for America. Yeah. Kind of a little political theme, so.
Love it.
Let's see if I'll get it to play. If not, then we're going to Jay Spears. And it's not. Hold on. There may not be sound yet. Come on.
It looked like it was going to start.
It was teasing me.
Come on, baby. You can do it.
I try refreshing the page. That's what happens when you try and play stuff on the fly.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, sometimes that wants to go right. Sometimes because I paused it earlier.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Here we go. Why does Gigi know? Totally Gay for America.
Well, I got in my car and went down to the bar to relax from a full working day. And while drinking my beer, I happened to hear this New York banker type say that our country's all wrong and that we don't belong in affairs that are so far away. And so I pushed back my chair and I stood up right there and made sure the whole bar heard me say, I'm totally sway, but this country of mine makes me totally gay. Now I know things ain't right, it's on the news every night and in the papers almost every day. I wanna hug Uncle Sam, caress his hair with my hand, and let him know everything is okay. Maybe give him a quick peck at the nape of his neck and rub his shoulders till his cares went away. Trace the curves of his thighs and look into his eyes and see if he wants to go hit the hay. 'Cause I'm totally gay for America. I'm totally gay for the U.S. of A. I know we could never get married, but he never asked me anyway. 'Cause it would undermine the family. I know that's what he'd say, but we could keep it a secret and continue on that way. And I'd be faithful and loyal till he threw me away. There ain't a lot of things that make me feel this way, but this country of mine makes me totally gay.
I love that.
The whitest kids you know.
That's good. I like that.
That's cool.
From the Independent Film Channel.
I see.
I thought it was just a cute little song.
It was cute. I liked it.
So
the video's worth watching.
Yeah. I found it on Telluride. This is on collegehumor.com where I found that one. But we've got
a bunch of people.
The Bi Agenda is
Bi Agenda and Friends.
Oh yeah.
Hey.
Okay, let me turn.
We may have a what amounts to a round table going on here, but maybe with a bi theme.
That's right.
Have all these gay guys talk about their experience of bisexuality. Yeah, right.
Well, I never been with a girl, so I'm sorry.
Oh, ain't that too bad? You're missing out.
No, actually, that's the point I wanted to make tonight by inviting a couple of folks on your segment.
Jimmy's being teased, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Again?
Yes.
Okay. Always.
So first of all, the hosts of the show are...
Yes, David, otherwise known as the beloved Great Bear, mm-hmm. Or you just call me Great.
Okay.
I'm Robin.
The ebony goddess.
Yes. And next to you...
Justin?
Mm-hmm.
Back from last week.
And then Mark.
Okay.
And a cast of thousands.
Oscar's in the background.
Yes, I'm here.
With a friend. And I see Virgin.
Yay!
Merlin's in here, too.
Yeah, Merlin. He's right here.
Sean.
Hey there!
Sean's in the blind spot.
Sean's there, and he's got all his clothes on.
So hey, far.
Anybody want nude radio?
So who's taking clothes off tonight? What?
Anyway, I wanted some perspective here, because a lot of the problem with the bisexual community, especially in the greater gay community, is that... Maybe a lot of gay men and lesbians and don't even believe in bisexuality. So I kind of wanted to get the opinions of some folks here. Like, Justin, what do you think about the bisexual community? Are you familiar with it? Have you been bisexual? Do you think you're bisexual?
Well, I think when it comes to bisexuality in general, it's... You have to look at some of the research that's been done over the years,
mm-hmm.
Specifically looking at Alfred Kinsey and his McKenzie's report.
Right.
Shows, you know, according to his report, most of the population is actually bisexual.
Yeah.
With, you know, more closer to, like, shaped like a bell curve, with 10% being completely straight, 10% being homosexual, and everything else in between. Everyone else in between is bisexual to a certain extent on a scale from
right.
from 0 to 6.
That is absolutely amazing that you said that, because that's what I've been saying on this show for years, and it's just been an observation
Kenzie beat you to it.
Of a lifetime of...
From what I understand about Kenzie, he fit on that scale.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. He had a little...
When you consider about 10% is gay and about 10% is straight, then we're looking at 80% of the population is bi in some form.
Mm-hmm.
From a little bit to middle of the road to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow.
It's like I sometimes tell people I can go either way and usually do.
Yeah. What's your background, Justin?
Been out since I was 18. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology from Texas A&M University.
Well, wow. You're an Aggie?
I'm an Aggie, yes, sir.
An out Aggie.
Out Aggie.
Out.
Yeah,
at Aggie land.
Yeah, where the men are men, the sheep are nervous.
And,
that was a good one.
That is a pretty hard row to haul there, because it's one thing to be involved in a GLBT group at, you know, University of Houston or Rice, but it's quite another to be a gay Aggie and stand up. How did you do that, and what was it like?
Well, actually, I was outed my freshman year at A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, to kind of deal with the stress and the harassment I was taking, joined the gay student group at A&M. GLBTA, it's gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, Aggies.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of went through the, you know, political motions. And at A&M, it's specifically, it's strictly a social organization, however.
Sure.
Then my senior year, I was president of that organization.
Wow. So let me ask you, did you have very many bisexual members?
We did have a few, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that many. We did not see very many. We would see some people that would identify as bisexual for a time and then decide that they were gay. We had some people that thought, you know, they were gay, and then all of a sudden they kind of meet someone that kind of tickled their fancy of the opposite gender, and they'd be like, you know,
right.
And I would always encourage them to explore it, because
sure.
you know, you have one life, you might as well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes the grass is greener on the other side.
You never know.
Right.
Yes,
and it's one of those.
Some of those trans men can be hot.
Oh, yes, yeah. They yes. are.
It's one of those things where they say that there's a lot of gay people that's in the closet and lesbians, but it's really the most majority of people that's in the closet are bisexual.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with bisexuality is the invisibility.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, so is the issue, how do you define it?
Yes.
I mean, I got this little button, thought about bringing it, completely forgot, but says, you know, this on the button says, this is what bisexual looks like. And kind of a theme, maybe pick this up, I was thinking about what we might talk about, and I was kind of thinking of the question of what it means to be fill in the blank.
Okay.
You know, about, you know, sexuality and the behaviors that go along with that. And, you know, as a, you know, when I call myself bisexual, you know, my basic nature, I say, still favors the straight side. My primary relationship is with Robin right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In an everyday way of being, yes, I see a attractive woman is going to get my attention more than a man.
Okay.
But sort of underneath that, there's still attraction to man. It's just me subtle compared to the attraction of women. It's still strong enough that I want to go act on it every now and then.
Let me ask if anybody in the room, because we have quite a few people, and try to be honest with this, do you think that bisexuality is just a phase from going from straight to gay or gay to straight, or
no?
I believe it.
No.
It depends
it
on
you. Do
well. The reason,
be honest.
No, the reason I believe this is because some people cling to bisexuality because if mommy and daddy find out, they can say bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And give their parents the hope that they're still maybe going to be straight.
What you see is some gay men claim to be bisexual in order to be more accepted in society.
Right. And then there's some who... I define bisexuality as you enjoy the company or the intimacy of both.
Yes.
But I always joke that there's guys who say they're bi as in a guy will do in a pinch.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So, I mean, to me, it's kind of, you know, it's a safety net. You know, because it's a scary thing when you're coming out.
Mm-hmm. And in that case, and maybe that's the only...
I think it's very much a case-by-case basis.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is. It's not... Yeah, you know, for some people, it's going to be part of... It's going to be part of their transition. And for other people, they're going to kind of settle into it, and it's going to be their fit.
Right.
And it's going to be how they're going to identify.
I think you're right. Yeah. It's not everybody who's knew that they were gay from the age 4, like me. I think most people, most men... grew up in their teen years, and they, you know, they listened to the thing about dating women, and this is the way it's supposed to be,
right.
Blah, 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 and then realized that they had other feelings, and so maybe try to identify as bisexual until they actually had a relationship with a man and realized, oh, no, I'm not bi, I'm really gay.
There's
well, in my case, coming out is, I didn't know anything about bisexual when I was growing up. I mean, I remember dating guys and liking guys and stuff, but I would see women like Grace Jones. I remember this one gym teacher in my high school. She was hot. And
Grace Jones is fierce and hot.
I was like, well, you can just do whatever you want. I am not going to complain.
That's right.
But I didn't say anything. Because I thought it was being lesbian. I didn't even think bisexual. I didn't know what it was. So when I came out of the closet, I came out as a lesbian first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that's what either you were straight or lesbian or gay or straight or, you know, whatever.
There's one or the other. And then when you realize you like both, it's very confusing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gigi, I ran into Gigi. Gigi is like that magic.
That can be very confusing.
Bridge.
Yeah.
And he fixed it.
Gigi is the most androgynous man I have ever met.
I'll say that's kind of what described my situation in that when I really think about it, I've always had some bisexual tendencies, but I didn't recognize them because I didn't know that's what they were.
Or you didn't allow yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, the social messages I picked up did not support that.
Exactly.
And really, at the time, you always say, well, as a kid, I basically went along with them anyway.
And I think the greater society does not believe in bisexuality as an orientation.
Right. So it's just, you know, occasionally I would see, you know, some sort of homoerotic image or something. It would get my attention. I'd be asked, myself, why am I looking? I'm not gay. Well, there is a middle ground.
There is.
And wasn't, well, I think it was later. I wasn't until I was hearing this show, you know, 15, 16 years ago or 20 years ago, whenever it was, and here I think was Gigi or somebody talking about that. And it's like,
yeah.
Tell me more about that. I'm curious about that.
Hey, Blackhawk Leather. there's a guy here with a gorgeous yellow shirt, Blackhawk Leather, one of our gay businesses. Oscar.
He got some nice biceps and triceps right here.
Well, that's because he works out.
I've
watched him work out. I've watched
him
work
out. That's interesting.
No, I have never seen Oscar in a shower. The facility we use does not have one.
I'm sure you wish it did.
Oh, God.
Okay, now my face is very red. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Oscar has been in the gay business world and for many years and has come across a whole lot of people. I'd like to know your experiences with bisexual people.
My experiences with bisexual people, working at Basic Brothers, we had a lot of different clothing for male or female. It wasn't just male-oriented. And we also had wigs and falsies and corsets for men who wanted to dress up and be entertainers. We would call them entertainers, not drag queens, because back then they were actually entertainers, and they did it for a living.
Yeah, that's
right. A transgender type. It was actually, they were just...
It's more female impersonation.
Female impersonation, correct.
On a professional level. Also, Basic Brothers carry a lot of clothing for male dancers.
Correct.
So you must have seen all types of sexual orientations through the store.
I have seen quite a bit. Yes, from some just wanting to experiment, some that just have questions about, well, I heard this goes on between two men, but mm-hmm. how can two women have a relationship? I mean, the parts just don't fit, you know, that kind of questions. Uh-huh. And then, you know, you can explain about the adult sex toys sure. that are out there for them and how some men like to see two women. Mm-hmm. Now, those men will deny that they're bisexual, but if I believe if a man can watch two women, then he's just scared to give himself permission to watch two men. Basically, because behind closed doors, there's a lot of straight men. I've been out for quite a long time, and most of them were "quote unquote straight,"
mm-hmm.
and
Oscar, did you take him behind those closed doors?
Well, of course.
Oscar was very professional.
I was a professional, yes, and you'll find out later.
Just how professional, yeah. Later. Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, you give him the number and say, "I get off at work at 8 o'clock, and meet me at the door at 8:30."
Yeah,
you know, that's how you do it. That's professional.
Exactly.
But,
exactly.
There's a lot of them that would tell me stuff that they would feel,
mm-hmm.
And they said, "Well, I'm straight, you know, but." My best friend over here, he and I go fishing, and every now and then I catch myself, does that mean I'm gay? And I'm like, well, no, that means you're sexual. Because
right.
everyone is sexual. Yeah. It's yeah. not just bisexual, homosexual, heterosexual. I consider myself sexual. I have been with men and women, a lot more men than women, mm-hmm. because I prefer men, but it was sex. I remember when I was young with the first woman that I was with, she was 20 plus my senior,
mm-hmm.
and we were having sex, and through the whole thing she's going, "You're not gay, you can't be gay." And through the whole thing I was saying, "No, I'm just sexual. I just like sex.
Right.
Give it to me, you know?" And at that age, I was 17, I didn't know very much in West Texas. I didn't know what the gay world was like or what a bisexual world was.
Mm-hmm.
It was everybody, you know, you were straight, you married, you had children, but you
around.
Can have your best friend on the side and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
That's how it was back then. But as I moved into Houston, I began to realize that there are more people that are just sexual. But with our community, everybody has to label it. Everything. Just like,
right.
for instance, the leather community, we're leather, and the drag queens are entertainers, and
mm.
they were, you know, everybody has their own little section, but really it's just like you're on a stage and everyone has different costumes. And you could play any part.
It's all drag.
Yeah, it's all drag. Exactly. It's all drag. But don't let the leather community hear that too much. You know?
You mentioned something
we'll
about...
We'll tie you up at the next
mm-hmm.
outgoing Jimmy.
What? Yeah, what is with the rope going on in there?
Well, I thought y'all were going to tie me up.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing rope tricks.
Oscar, you mentioned how it was in West Texas. You married and you had a family, and then you had your
best friend.
Yeah, you met
go camping.
With either your best friend or a female or something.
Exactly.
But you know, and then you came to Houston and discovered it was a broader.
Hmm.
Well, 50 years ago, all of America was like West Texas.
Exactly,
yeah.
It was.
Yeah, that's what was expected of you, no matter where you lived.
Exactly. You were expected to have children,
mm-hmm.
so your name goes on.
Right.
But, you know, what goes on behind closed doors, you don't really talk about.
You don't mm-hmm. talk about, and you can do whatever you want as long as you don't get caught.
And I think that's where we have most of our problems
sure.
today with HIV and AIDS.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff that they kept it behind closed doors for so long
mm-hmm.
that now that we're opening the doors and realizing that things are happening behind those closed doors, there, everyone's a little shaken on what's what, and oh my gosh, I can't believe he's actually slept with a man, or oh my gosh, he's looking at Playgirl. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to go to the Walgreens and stand there and just thumb through Playgirl. and the older woman would come up and go, "That's the wrong one for you, son. You need to be looking at this one." And I'm like, "But I'm not interested in tatas. Right. I'm more interested in what hangs between the legs." You know,
you're more interested in the outies than the innies.
Right. Yes, thank you.
And that older woman just might have had a, you know, hanger, you know.
Yeah, right. She could have, you know, behind closed doors. Those dresses were below the knee while I was growing up. Was nothing but...
those girdles contained a lot.
That's right. Jimmy.
Merlin looks like he wants to chime in here.
I was just saying, you know, I think the problem is that over the years, we've gotten way too attached to the idea of the fence. And everybody has to be on one or the other side of the fence, yeah. Whether that's Republican or Democrat, yeah. Or gay or straight, or it's like everything has to be a side. You have to land somewhere on one side of something or the other. And I think the universe is a little more complicated
right.
than that.
I think
we fall on, you know, we can fall in all kinds of different directions.
Right. I also think the younger generations are beginning to realize that sex is sex, because it's more open.
Mm-hmm.
There's more organizations in high schools.
Yeah.
You know, when I went to high school, oh my God, you know, everybody knew that I was gay, but no one talked about it. The guys would come say, "Hey, I need a date for the prom," because all the girls loved me because I wasn't trying to get in bed friends. With them.
Yeah.
So I had that kind of relationship, and back then to have a club that was a gay organization, that was uncalled for.
Unheard of.
I mean, that's lynching material.
Totally unheard of.
Yeah. I wish there had been a gay club in my neck of the
woods. Me too, you know.
You were lucky. My gay friends in high school were getting beaten up half to death, and I had to fend them.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's what we were afraid of. We never even talked about it because we were afraid we'd get beat up. But as I walked down the hall, everybody knew that I was just a little bit more feminine than most guys, you know. And when I started teaching modeling to the women and could model better than some of the women, that was a complete...
They used to tie a broom to his butt so he could sweep the floors as he was walking down.
And they'd tie a mop to Justin's tongue to clean up behind me.
Right.
So was it the type of thing, Oscar, that, you know, kind of everybody knew and all the jocks would come over to your house one at a time?
Take them three or four at a time?
No, it wasn't really like that. It was more of, I was the one that got picked on a lot,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the jocks, going back to class reunions, they're now with their partner, and they were the ones that are always picking on me, and even to one extent that one of them was like, "Ooh, wow, you look really good," and I said, "Yeah, but remember you used to call me the F word all the time? I don't like that word," and he would go, "Oh, but back then that's the way it was." And I said, "Well, it still hurts. It's
sure.
still here."
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, you know, it was a total turnoff. But the girls, now on the other hand, they were like, "Oh, yeah, I know that you're gay, but I'll still marry you anyway. You can go have, you know, all this." And and being young in West Texas, that was confusing.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you didn't know whether, okay, should I get married and have a secret life? Or should I just come out and be who I am, come out and be proud? What I chose was just to be quiet. And they knew, everybody knew, but it wasn't spoken out loud. I didn't get beat up, thank you, Lord. And I moved out of West Texas in time and came to Houston.
Good.
And then realized that there were more people like me than people that were hiding behind the closed doors.
Right.
It's one of those things, it's easier to be a lesbian, because there were a lot of lesbians in my school. we just didn't say anything. We knew it was happening. Yeah. You know, we knew that, oh, she likes women and stuff, but we just didn't say anything. And the guys was basically just didn't care as long as we didn't mess with them or nothing. But when you was a gay guy and you were feminine, that was a problem.
Yeah. A lot of that comes down to just our own social hierarchies within our society.
Yeah, and perception, because, you know, the very effeminate guy may not necessarily be gay.
Yeah, right.
That's true. I got a nephew. He's very, very feminine, and so far that I know, he's heterosexual. I actually went up and told him that if you are kind of, you know, thinking otherwise, you can tell me. I'm going to still be your aunt or whatever. I'm not going to judge you or nothing like that, because he's kind of very religious, but he is very feminine.
Over years, you know, I've gotten to know several gay men, and it's like there are several who, if they didn't tell me they were gay, I would never have known. At the same time, I did hear a few years ago, I remember my mom was in the hospital for an operation, and there was a male nurse, and he seemed to be very effeminate and kind of flippant, and always smiling at people and saying hello, and, you know, we're sort of thinking he might be a member of the family and all that. And then I overhear him talk about his wife and his children. And it's like, okay, either I'm getting either still in the closet, or I'm definitely getting some mixed messages here.
Yeah.
And I do remember hearing something several years ago about some guy who was working on an oil rig out in the Gulf.
Yeah.
Who got basically he was straight, but everybody kept thinking he was gay. And, of course, they were harassing about him. But, of course, when he got back to shore, sued the oil company for all they were worth.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Mm-hmm. But of course, you go to an arcade or a bookstore, and you're going to see a hell of a lot more wedding rings than you will.
That's a lot of my people that's in the closet. These like the Brokeback Mountain incident. People want to say that they're gay, but to me, I look at them as bisexual because they love their wives. They love their children, they're intimate with their wives and stuff, but then they can go out fishing for a couple of weeks and don't do more than just go fishing.
Yeah, what kind of poles
they love their wives, they love their children, so obviously there's an emotional tie there, but there's also an emotional tie to the man. I'm talking about the Brokeback Mountain scenario. And I think that's what determines orientation a lot, the emotional tie you have to the gender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the two best things that ever happened to human sexuality in the last 50 years or so are the Kinsey Report.
Absolutely.
And Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
Yes.
I mean, on some level, to hear a woman who was obviously, who was this short little, you know, piece of work.
Short little German
woman. Yeah. I mean, respected, you know, for her field, to be discussing gay, straight, bi, and that all of these things exist and all of them are valid and, you know, was a shocker at the time.
Yeah. The Kinsey Report really changed America.
Yeah.
And for the better. Shocked the hell out of it.
Right.
For one thing. But it started opening people's eyes to sexuality.
Yeah.
Because before that, it just wasn't talked about. It wasn't discussed. Mm-hmm. You had to learn it on your own and find out for yourself. And
I think time has proven that the less you talk about the things that are basic human nature, the more those things become monsters inside people's heads.
Right.
Absolutely.
And you get the scandals that happen, and you get the suicide rates and all the horrible dramas that we all know about, that we've all heard about or been a part of in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I went through living hell in high school.
Yes.
You know, because of who I was. And they knew I was queer, you know?
You get situations like, you know, you know, please stay in your own stall, Mr. Senator.
You yeah, know? There you go. Right. Exactly. Uh-huh. There you go.
Just a quick
and
quick.
Also,
and Jimmy.
And David wanted to.
And Jimmy's choking again.
I always choke on the big ones.
Also, the thing
I think after all these years, you'd stop choking.
Right.
Yeah, David wanted to say something. Yes,
I was going to say, you're not getting enough practice, are you, Jimmy?
I have to chime in here with something that I said. My lover has business partners who are straight and so very Republican. And he's not really out to them. And, you know, I go to the dinner with the four of us and, you know, the two of them and Stanley and I, and they've got to be like idiots not to know that I'm gay. Anyway.
The pink would give it away, you think.
Yeah, exactly.
You're gay? You're gay?
Exactly.
I thought you were a Pentecostal.
So, the male partner was talking about Republicans, and then he got onto Clinton, and he was talking about the blowjob thing and all that, and I said, well, if Hillary gets elected, then, you know, how will Bill get his blowjobs? And I just looked at him and said, well, maybe he should ask a Republican senator.
There you go.
It's like all the Republicans are gay. Come on.
Well, going back to the, like, all the...
They're all gay. They just all... Because they have to hold up some ideal mm-hmm. just to get elected, they... Yeah. You know, they have to bury what is just as human nature to them as it is to the rest of us. Yep. You know?
Yep.
Absolutely. Going back to the thing with all the persecution and bashing and everything that people got growing up, that's similar to what happens to people who grew up in the church. Like me. Yeah. I grew up in the church and everything, and it's like,
and
I claim...
does it show.
And I chose the bi route to an extent, and I still am to an extent, to some degree, but... And it's just like, when you're growing up and everything, it's fine that they don't know. But then when they find out...
Yeah.
You have to pay the price.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And unfortunately, the price a lot of times is them kicking you out. Which... I mean, that's not the answer to solve the problem. You need to just deal with the fact that we exist. We're in church, we're in society, we're in everywhere, every aspect. Yeah. So just deal with it and move on.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. David, I didn't mean to bring a whole group in here and hijack your show from you.
Oh, yeah. That's okay.
But I did want to get some different perspectives on bisexuality.
Oh, that's cool.
How people look at bisexuality. And so, please, take over.
Okay. Well, I just got to toss out a question or a couple questions.
Good.
I'll start out where I'm coming from with this. As a kid, you know, I had a cousin about mm-hmm. 6 months younger than me. He is gay. I mean, some of my first sexual experiences were with him.
Mm-hmm.
And me being the quote-unquote straight guy of the two, I'm the one who started it. Okay, so that's... Though I'd say, perhaps in a lot of ways, he may have matured a little quicker than I did.
Yeah.
Since I learned masturbation from him. And, you know, some other stuff going on. But the point is that while I did not have the experiences growing up some gay men had,
mm-hmm.
I can think back my... I saw my cousin going through, and so, like, I get it. I can recognize some things.
Well, let me tell you, David, I think most men in America, anyway,
mm-hmm.
had that type of experience growing up with a friend.
Right.
A jack-off buddy or more. And whether they ended up straight, gay, or bi,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a common experience.
Right.
And I've heard from men who... haven't had that experience that they feel left out. They've really missed something along the way. Aha. Uh-huh.
I feel mm-hmm. left out.
Justin, okay. You never had that? You?
Right.
I didn't kiss my first boy till I was 18.
Oh, mm-hmm. my goodness.
Yeah, I guess for me it's kind of a question girl, about the stereotype of how...
Wow.
The stereotype of a gay man, again, is like this. A very effeminate guy's going skipping down the streets, got, you know, Carmen Miranda hat on his head. And I can, you know, remember my cousin, like I said, we did play. played around. We'd play boy games and all.
Yeah.
But every now and then he'd go play with his sister's dolls.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'd be kind of picking on him a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time I really didn't think about it. But, you know, nowadays I can kind of see, okay, he was showing the signs.
Really. Yeah. Right.
And, of course, there's also, again, that's kind of part of a stereotype, you know, that, you know, gay man's supposed to, you know, might want to play with his sister's dolls or whatever. And, of course, to me, the question I'm asking, of course, is how prevalent is that, you know, how true is that stereotype? Is it really that common a theme? Or
yeah, or, I just wanted to put dresses on my boy dolls. To heck with the girl dolls.
Okay.
What about the G.I. Joe dolls?
Mm-hmm. Right.
All those guys straight with G.I. Joe.
Straight boys have dolls, too. They're just called action figures.
Mm-hmm.
Action
figures. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And somebody...
Well,
as somebody said,
figures.
You know, action
really
figures. some brilliant marketer knew that if he called dolls action figures, he could get boys to play with
somewhere,
dolls.
Somewhere I got an article that says just that. You know, figure out well, how do we sell boys some more toys? We'll sell them these quote unquote dolls. We won't call them dolls. We'll call them this. You know, dressed up. You know, as soldiers.
I had a fabulous Bionic Man doll that, as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He was always getting it on with my G.I. Joe and my my Aquaman. So
yeah. I had my Jamie Summers, the McWoman doll.
Bless you.
Yeah. Again, I guess for me, it's a question of how, you know, about the stereotypes. Cause, I would say I'm basically, you know, masculine.
Mm-hmm.
So I may have some feminine tendencies. So, you know. I know, you know, Robin's told me she can see into me.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm aware that even, you know, there's still a stereotype even how, quote-unquote, straight men are supposed to act. You know, and yet, I can tell you that it's possible for a man to have emotions, to be really loving and caring about another man.
Sure.
And still be masculine and not be sexual. You know, and that's kind of in opposition to the stereotype of how men are supposed to act.
There's, in fact, just about... all the straight men here at KPFT fit that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, involved this...
because we're a family here, and there's all types of people, all types of races, all types of sexuality.
Race, creeds, colors,
and we all get along. That's the number one rule. You're going to find people like that you described, straight people, and there's been some straight guys that... oh, gosh, around here.
We've all lusted after as they've walked in the
somehow
studio
just can't quite make that shift.
No, they're all straight.
There's a thing about in the black community where a lot of black guys get stereotyped that they're very, very macho-ism.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people that if you want to get around black guys that are not that are macho, but they're not so macho that they got to be... you know, throwing it around in your face.
Mm-hmm.
It's like went to the Kwanzaa celebration and stuff like that. And you got these guys with these long dreadlocks, the Afrocentric types. They're more like David's Warrior Weekend type brothers.
Sure.
Except they're Afrocentric types.
Yeah.
And they would hug each other and pet each other and do all kinds of stuff that you would see, you know, out here at the station. And David is in the Mankind Project, and these are mostly heterosexual guys too. And
they're not afraid to show emotion to another man.
Society, the media and our parents taught women that we got to be real sensitive and like you grow up, like as I fall down and skin my knee, I would cry. And my mom would go, oh, it's okay, you know, and everything. But when a boy does it, it's like, oh, you know, suck it in, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
boys don't cry.
Yeah, it's like you're constantly getting that constantly coming at you, constantly all your life. So it's really hard to see even straight guys, like some guys can go to the Kwanzaa celebration and think that's weird. Even though you know these guys are straight, most of them, or whatever. And because they constantly get this information going, oh, that's not right, that's wrong, you're not supposed to do that, and you know, that's gay, or faggoty, or whatever. So David, he be telling me that sometimes, even though he know that it's okay, he would get this message, keep yelling at him, telling him, oh, you're not supposed to do that. Oh, that, you know, that's not a man. And, right. You know, and
apparently.
Even though you know that that's not true.
But, yeah,
apparently in my family, that was all kinds of screwy.
Yeah.
Because there, on one hand, was my brother, my now dearly departed brother, Pete, who used to say that a man isn't a man unless he knows how to cry. And this was a straight man who, right. You know, married twice, you know,
yeah,
all
think
of that.
And I think he was absolutely correct.
And then there was my mother, who I didn't see cry until she lost her first AIDS patient, who was a one-year-old baby.
Mm.
And my mom was a pediatrician.
Yeah.
The first time I ever saw that woman cry was that day she got the news. And, you know, otherwise, to me, she was this iron-willed woman, you know. She didn't fit that, you know, stereotype of this is what a woman is, and you know, they're supposed to be all emotional and weepy
emotional
and all of this.
And nurturing.
That's
and
interesting, because my mom, I never seen my mom cry either. I mean, it's rare that I see her shed a tear. I mean, my sister died of breast cancer a couple of years ago, reading the funeral, and we all bawling here. I mean, we just... And my mom's sitting in the front row, it's like, not crying, it's like, dang, you know, I'd be like falling apart. There's my daughter, you know, but she's grew up in a world where the women were real strong, the men wasn't really there and available.
Absolutely.
They were more like sperm banks or something.
Papa
they
was a
showed
rolling
up.
Stone.
They showed up every now and then and disappeared. But it's the thing where the women.
So the women were the strong.
The women took care of everything.
Yeah.
You know, we paid. We worked. You know, they worked and took care of the household, everything. So I grew up seeing my mom as this strong woman with this nursing uniform on. You know, and I saw my dad cry more than I seen her crying. And my dad is this. You know, military man works, has job, comes home all dirty and gritty, working for the airline, you know, mechanic airline. And I seen him break down and cry, had tears running before. But there were times when people...
So why do we have this kind of societal thing of what, this is what a man is and this is what a woman is, when in society, in reality, it doesn't exist.
Right.
Because people rely on certain traditions. People rely on whether it's biblical tradition or whatever their cultural tradition is, that you, this is what you present. Whatever it is,
but
that
we don't.
But you do, but we present that out in public.
We strive for it.
We strive for it out in public up to a point. But behind the it's what, whatever we do behind closed doors, we're supposed to show a certain thing, a certain idea, a certain way to the rest of the world.
Basically, growing up, we're socialized to believe certain things, you know, and there's certain what are called basically could be called lenses of socialization.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, your first exposure is your family. What your environment, your home environment, all that, and then it expands to, when you go to school, you're exposed to other things, and you're socialized to your friends, your teachers, and then you're exposed to, you know, media, and so that's another lens of socialization.
To me,
and so
I
you're
got
socialized
this
over and over again.
To me, I got this when my aunts used to get angry with me when I was I would run around and jump and be all dirty and playing with action figures and stuff. And my aunt used to yell at me, "Who do that? That's not the way girls acting." I hated being a girl because every time I wanted to do something, I got yelled at. And it's like the boys never got yelled at. If they got dirty, it was okay. When I got dirty, it was a problem. My mom, she was doing it too, but not as bad. My aunts were.
I guess I came about this gradually, but I never really did that. I have my own.
You never got dirty when you were little?
No, I have my own form of masculinity, and it certainly isn't what society says masculine should be.
No.
But this is me. And,
right.
If I look like a gay man, good, because that's what I want to be. But even when I worked in the corporate field, I never dated. I did not take a date to a company function. And after 19 years, I guess they kind of figured it out.
Yeah, the corporate field is just another costume, another drag.
It's just another right. costume.
And
yeah.
once they figure it out, they're like, oh.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So I never presented as straight.
Straight.
Let's just say picking security. Meaning the security guard was easier for me.
I wasn't exactly out. I mean, I had right. a lot of friends who I worked with for years and years who knew I was gay, but I... For the rest of the corporation, I wasn't out as a gay man.
Well,
but
like what I was,
I didn't hide it. And I mean,
what
look
I was
at
saying,
me.
I was out. Everybody knew I was out, but I wasn't the one that was out and proud.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and making a difference. I was more. Everybody knew about it.
Yeah.
It was okay. You know. Oh, that's Oscar. He's gay. No problem. You know. And
I did not. Kind of, I did not become a gay activist until. I got my HIV status in 1987.
That does tend
and
to change
then
you.
My whole world changed.
Uh-huh. It does.
And I thought, you know, in those days, I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but in those days.
That happens a lot on our show.
Right.
People,
well, if you like
people
tangents,
were not
that's
out
okay.
about their HIV status because it was a dangerous thing to do in the 80s. And so I was out because I thought somebody has to be. You know, they're
I didn't become an activist till I started coming here.
Ah,
it was interesting when the epidemic started, and the doctor said, "Well, we're going to give you the HIV test,
mm-hmm.
and it's by a number. It's not going to be by your name."
Oh, that's right.
And I
totally
was like,
anonymous.
Well, "Wait a minute!
I still
you
have
know,
that
I
number.
Have nothing to hide.
I still mm-hmm. have that original number in my
uh-huh,
wallet.
So do I in my wallet.
Yeah,
it's just something that I carry with me,
yeah.
but." I would tell the doctor, I have nothing to hide. This is who I am. And it's been a blessing for me to be able to be that way
mm-hmm.
because I've got to help a lot of other people mm-hmm. that were so fearful
Absolutely.
Of just talking about
yes.
it.
Yes.
And everybody knew I was gay, but I wasn't that out and proud, so they could come and quietly say, I have a question for you, Oscar. Could you kind of... And I wouldn't make them feel like they were... doing something immoral
mm-hmm.
or that wasn't healthy. I just said, this is you. This is me.
That's
I have nothing to hide.
That's the thing. I think whether we fall into G, B, you know, G, L, B, or T,
mm-hmm.
or anywhere in between that we feel like fitting, the ability to be who we are and then help and say it and be proud of it and then be there for other people who are coming along, who are having the same struggles we went through.
Mm-hmm.
Grant you, it's a much more open world than most of us grew up in.
It is interesting.
But,
it
you
is.
Know, we are able to...
It's interesting
come,
how
you know,
we're helping our persecutors
uh-huh.
deal with
right. deal
HIV
with,
AIDS.
Yes. Yeah.
Because when it first came out, it was a gay thing. It was God's way to get rid of homosexuality.
Oh, yeah.
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 But
that.
Now,
and
they see it differently, and they're actually coming to us going, you've had HIV for 20-plus years? How are you doing it?
Yeah.
You know, they're actually coming to us,
yes.
and it's not that taboo. Mm-hmm.
That was also a very
exactly.
American way of looking at the epidemic as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Other specifically countries in Europe did not have the social attachment to the early HIV
That's
epidemic.
Right. Did not have the gay stigma attached
and
to it,
And it's
really.
Starting to spread more in the African-American community mm-hmm. because it's getting
African
more where it's like...
Yeah.
80% of African American women is getting AIDS more even than the white gay male.
And what pisses me off is that the bisexuals are getting the blame for it.
uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know we were that powerful.
See?
Well, the reason why they say that is because of the down low situation. A lot of these guys are married or dating and they going out bareback.
Yeah.
And not telling anybody.
We're coming up to the top of the hour, and I hate mm-hmm. to cut this off because it is fascinating, mm-hmm. and I'm really mm-hmm. having a well, good time with this.
Talk about
but,
it tomorrow next week, next
but,
month.
Yeah, we've got like just a couple of minutes, and Chris has a couple of people we want to thank because during this segment, we've mm-hmm. had two more people call in with grudges.
Good.
The first one called in actually at the end of the trans segment and called specifically because of the trans program.
Really? Really?
Yes. Love the station, the program, and especially the transgender segment.
Oh, right.
Did not know we had a, that we were here. And that's Anna.
Thank you, Anna.
Made a very generous pledge.
Yes, she did.
And Kevin called in. He's a returning member. And we made our goal this week.
And Kevin put his on.
All right.
Yes.
Plasticized.
And we made our goal. That's fabulous.
All righty.
Just fabulous.
Hey.
And see, we did it this week without pushing.
Oh,
yeah, we didn't have to get on and go on and on and on. We were able to do our show.
7383
Yes, yes, that's the way I'd love to do it.
Yeah, me too.
My listeners came through. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And we'll be doing it again next week.
Yeah, Chris.
And the week after that.
Okay.
I think it's a 3-week thing. So, you've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We're not doing PSAs, but here's a pledge stuff. Coming up in a few moments, Zydeco Pasale.
Thank you, guys.
If you plan to call today or later this week to renew your membership, please consider increasing your contribution. As you've probably heard in the news, Congress has often considered slashing budgets for public interest services. As a result, federal funding for public radio may be reduced. That funding may even be eliminated. Though only a small percentage of KPFT's budget comes from federal funding, this funding crisis means that your contribution is more important now than ever. Please consider increasing your contribution if you can. Every dollar you contribute will make a big difference in the music and news you've come to appreciate from KPFT. Call 713-526-5738 to make your tax-deductible contribution or pledge online at kpft.org. Again, that number is 713-526-KPFT. Pledge now. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.